Tonight on The Shining Wizards, we're celebrating Matt's birthday. He says he'll be here in 3 minutes, but he's not here yet. What other tomfoolery is going to happen tonight? Stay tuned. It's The Shining Wizards, $3.99. The following is a presentation of The Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
I have a small dick.
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the episode that Matt has been waiting for.
Yes, and he's still waiting.
He's not even here. Well, welcome to number 399.
Happy birthday, Matthew. What do you have to... Are you excited for the show, Matt? Matt.
I don't know. I don't have a cricket sound. He's got the cricket sound.
Matt, it's your birthday. Are you excited?
Yes, Matt is excited.
Matt, what else? How else are you feeling, Matt? That drastic, huh?
It's terrible.
It's very, very... Well, this is... Matt's birthday bash, which, of course, as you can tell by the last 30 seconds of your life, he is not here yet. So,
dummy, yeah,
he's fat.
We're doing a birthday show for someone who is not even here.
And Matt had one job: show up for 6:30, and he couldn't even do that. Well, he didn't have to book a guest. He didn't have to take a note. He didn't have to make a phone call, send a text, send an email, nothing.
And he probably still did a better job than I did.
Oh, my God. No, you know what? We were just going over it pre-show, and I think we've got ourselves a hell of a lineup, all things considered.
Right.
One of the things we like to do for the birthday shows is we go over people that we tried to get that we couldn't. And we tried. Oh, boy, did we try.
And we did. We tried a lot of people, some of which I'm a little disappointed didn't get back to me. Some I'm a little surprised didn't get back to me.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. That's the thing. Some of them, absolute professionals, got right back to us, even if they said no.
Right.
You know, which is always appreciated because it doesn't leave us hanging, because then it's like, well, maybe they wanted to do it. You know how many times we've gotten messages? Well, you'll know. After the fact, we reach out to somebody and it's like 2 days later, it's like, oh, hey, man, I just read this now.
Well, you know, like, I can speak firsthand. I'm not... Not a lot of us.
Oh, Kevin's dropping names again, folks.
No, not a whole... Yeah, I'm dropping my own fucking name.
No, there you go. You're a star.
Not everyone is... And I've been slacking super hard on social media. Like, that was like my job at one point, was to run a social media for a company. And now I'm just like not doing it. So I understand if people don't check it as often as you would like, or respond as much as you would like. Oh,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I thought you were taking care of that on the road.
Yeah, we thought you were in the yard doing that, sir.
I thought you were going to pull out of your car in traffic and pee.
We get a text. I'm 3 minutes away and I have to pee. But it wasn't necessarily specified that he was going to pee while he was here, or whether he was going to pee when he was
three thought he
away.
Was stopping to pee.
See, I thought he was just going to water something in my yard.
Maybe the sad little Christmas tree.
Oh, leave that tree alone.
Teacher, leave that tree alone. Bowman, leave that tree alone.
Oh, poor Matt.
Dropping the last name here.
Well, good thing he showed up, because the festivities are starting at 6:45. We weren't planning on that, but...
Well, we wanted to talk NXT and Survivor Series and Raw and Impact, but we're not going to have enough time for that, I don't think, unless, you know, maybe we can filter it in throughout the show.
Now, let me just confirm. Our first guest is calling us.
That right? was your responsibility.
I know. And I think so. But that's the way you had left it. And then I just offered various ways of communication to get in touch with us.
I left this guest our number in the text.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yes. So that guest should
so
be
now,
calling
whether
us.
Or not that benefits this guest or hurts this guest, whether or not it would be better for us to call this guest.
No, no, no. You're right. This guest is calling us.
Okay.
That's because I even had it in my notes, but I'm a fucking paranoid Patricia over here. Ugh, I couldn't even think of another word. Hey, what's up, Matt? I like your new shirt, available at prowrestlingtees.com/wizardspodcast.
That is a nice fucking shirt in person. Turn your mic on.
Oh. Turn my mic on.
Oh, turn my mic on.
All right.
Well, I didn't need any rogue sounds coming through. Oh, wait.
Look at your special sign.
Talk to Kevin. Talk to Kevin.
Look at your special sign that Tony went. Spent Tony all of 4 seconds working on.
Lights up. Ooh. All right. I like that. Let me get settled.
Well, I hope you do because the present that I ordered you, which was guaranteed to be here today, is not here today.
We don't know that yet. Maybe it comes while we're doing the show.
Let me ask you a question. You order stuff from eBay, like when you're doing your figure collecting and whatnot?
Yes.
Jesus.
Okay. What is your protocol when someone guarantees a delivery and they don't meet the delivery time? Do you, like, lose your mind and tell them, fuck off, give me the money back? Okay.
No, you might, like, put it in the review, maybe give them one less star.
I don't even think they give stars anymore, do they?
Yeah.
I don't know. eBay's all kinds of weird to me. It's not the eBay that I'm used to having. That's all right. Take your time. It's not like we started the show or anything.
Shut up, man.
Yeah, you better not be stuttering tonight.
Oh, I'm gonna. You know I'm gonna stutter. That's par for the course.
We should have put all the Twisted Teas in a big giant jug and just had him chug it.
Ugh. It's a terrible idea.
That's all I need. His asshole vomiting all over the equipment.
That'd be fine.
It's bad enough we caught static a few minutes ago.
Oh, for me?
No. It was before you got here. Something is definitely not right in technology, Bill. So if you want to support us and make sure we have the best technology, and we're on the forefront, the cutting edge, you go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Support us, starting at just $1.
That's it.
So what have you guys been talking about?
You.
You.
All right. Good. The good, bad, and the ugly.
How you had one job today and you failed.
Ooh, man. Traffic was a motherfucker.
It's Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
I left my apartment at 5:25.
Well, I guess you should have left at 5:15.
But I didn't consider that when I was scheduling anything today.
I'll brain you. You fuck.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Matt can't look. Our first guest would like to call in now if it's possible.
That is perfectly fine.
All right.
You handle the intro?
I have to tell said guest, as long as asshole's not looking at my screen.
I'm not trying to look at you. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good, man.
How's everything?
Not too bad.
All right. Tony, how you doing over there?
I'm dying, dude. You know what? I said this last time and I'll say it again. Matt, when he books guests, it really is an art and a science at the same time.
He's really good at it.
Because this is rough. And Kevin and I did a lot of work, and boy, is this rough. Stop looking at my screen.
I'm looking at you. You're speaking to me.
Oh, wait. I think our first guest is calling in.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, calling all the way from the Deutschland, Matt's favorite female wrestler, the alpha female, Jazzy, is on the hotline. Jazzy, how are you tonight, darling?
I want to call and want to say happy birthday to Matt.
Yeah. Hi, Jazzy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am great. I was late, so they've been busting my balls. It gets harder as you get older to remember things, so it's starting early for me. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. I mean, it's freaking late, but I wanted to say happy birthday to you and stay awake for that.
You're the best. What time is it in Germany?
It's 1 a.m., actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we had to pull some...
You're the best, yep. Jazzy. Thank you so much for calling.
I hope you're doing well. I hope they give you a lot of presents and a big cake and throw you a big party.
I better get a cake.
We did one of the three.
Well, I have a cake here for you. I eat it for you, okay?
That doesn't sound very fun.
Wow. So, all right, before Alpha Female, what's new in the life of the Alpha Female, Jazzy? Obviously, we know that you had the tryouts over there a little bit. I know you were in the house for that. What was that like, and what was your experience like with that?
Oh my God. I mean, you guys follow my career, and 2018 is the most craziest year I ever had. I was injured in January and had my surgery, and I thought my career's over. My doctors told me it's over. But then 6 months later, I'm back in the ring, and I'm working for WXW, WXW, and I was in America. I worked for Beyond Wrestling. I had my rematch with Abby Lee, now Kimberly, and I'm touring around the world. Next week, I'm going to Japan, and it's just so freaking awesome. Like, can you imagine? I was not fit, and now I'm back in the ring again, so it's crazy.
It's beautiful.
We couldn't be happier for you. I would love to talk to you, but I feel so bad because it's so late.
Yeah, she did Hello? This for you for your birthday.
I know. I just feel guilty. She sounds exhausted. I appreciate her taking the time. You still owe me a chop from like way back in the day.
Why you didn't came around for New York? Come on. You knew I was there. You should have come around, and I would have loved to give you a big chop.
That's a good point. It sounds, you guys are like, oh, yeah, sounds good. Sounds horrifying. When she says it, and this is something that's been building for years, so like this isn't going to be like a, this will rival a Danny Moff chop.
Oh, I think it's going to be worse than that, dude.
Did you guys went to the Evolution event?
No, but we definitely watched it, and you know what? We really enjoyed it. We talked about it a few weeks ago when it happened, and overall, top to bottom, it was a great show. Did you? I take it you got a chance to check it out.
I was there. I was like in the, I don't know, maybe. Yeah, I was really close to the ring, and it was freaking amazing. And I couldn't believe my eyes how many fans been there because, you know, on the internet, there were like talks that the tickets didn't sell so well, but no way. It was so big. It was so huge. The energy was there, and everyone was so excited, and the match has been so much fun, you know.
It was an I'm sorry, Kevin. No, it was an excellent show.
It's your birthday, buddy.
No, I gotta admit something.
What is it?
I hate Ronda Rousey.
Oh my God!
I hate her facial expressions. I hate how she got like super annoyed Sunday night at when the crowd was booing her. I just can't stand anything about her. I'm sure she's a lovely person, but man, I hate her as a professional wrestler.
But you have to give her credits. I mean, the match with Charlotte, oh my God, she took a beating and she went the next day back in the ring. So we have to give her credit for that, isn't it?
No one's taking any credit away from her. She's a superior athlete, one of the faces of the new woman's evolution in the WWE. I just hate her. I hate her face. She wears like the makeup. One week she looks like the Predator. The next week she looks like a gremlin. It's terrible. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. I will tell her, okay? But I guess, you know,
yeah,
there's many
her.
Fans and there's many haters, and I guess, you know, she don't care.
Jazzy, let me ask you this. What's that like in the world of like the wrestlers, when someone takes that beating and it's clearly legit, it's clear, like, she was probably in a whole lot of pain after that. For someone coming in from the outside world, albeit MMA, what's that like? What's that respect level? Like, does it go up a whole lot for someone like that who goes out and does something like that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't know how to explain. I mean, sometimes I do this kind of stuff too, but I know it's going to hurt, and we have an idea what will come after. And just to have the sacrifice and say, okay, you know what? If it benefits the show, if it benefits the storyline, I'm going through that beating. That's like a whole level of respect. So of course she could have said no, you're not beating me with this kendo stick, you know, but she said yes, and she did not take just one or two, she took like a whole lot, and you saw her body, you know, it was all black and blue and red and all colors. So it's a lot of respect for her, because, you know, we wrestlers, we know there's pain coming. It's not like MMA, you know. In MMA you go in a fight and you know, okay, there will be pain, but you try to avoid it. But in wrestling you have to show some guts, you know. For example, like, I, not that I'm scared of, but I don't like to take the drop kick from the top rope, like if someone drop kicks me from the top rope. But here you have to stand bravely, you know, open your chest and take it, and you know, that takes a lot of guts. So, and getting this beating takes a lot of guts too, so I definitely respect their way more.
Yeah, you talk about having a lot of guts, and Ronda making the transition from MMA fighter to a professional wrestler. You went flip-flop. You went pro wrestler to MMA fighter. What was that experience like for you?
But you know what? People always say the other way around. They always think, I mean, the new fans, they think that I'm an MMA fighter and coming to wrestling. But no, it's the other way around, right? You guys know it. So it's funny. Like, even when I speak to the WWE people, they always say, oh, she's the MMA fighter. But no, I'm the wrestler.
That's funny because I think Ken Shamrock had the same kind of story. I think Ken Shamrock, a lot of people think, was MMA first, but he had some history in pro wrestling too.
Yeah, right? So it's kind of funny. But yeah, they're totally different worlds, and both worlds are quite fun. Both have their ups and downs, you know. Like, for example, I hate the fans in MMA because they're so unforgiving. I mean, you see it with best example, Ronda Rousey. She lost two fights, and now they say she's like the worst fighter in the world. But no, she actually had a lot of good matches before that. And you know, in pro wrestling, it's the opposite. The wrestling fans, they're with you no matter what. If you lose all your matches, they don't care. If you fall down and have like a breakdown, like might be with drugs and alcohol or whatever, you know, they will be behind you and they will lift you up again, you know. And it's the opposite with the MMA fans. So that's what I don't like. But in the MMA world, the co-workers, you know, the MMA fighters, they're more supportive. Like, they want to train with you and they want to help you that you become a better fighter. While in wrestling, it's a little bit backstabbing and stuff like that. You know, not everybody is supporting each other like that, as it should be. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I ask you about your hair?
Yeah.
How do you keep it so, like, pointy and up? Is there a lot of hair product?
Yeah, a lot of hairspray. Like, actually, it's ruined a lot. So that's why I lately do a lot of conros in it, just to get it grown back, you know. Like, I want to have long hair again, but then again, I might shave it off again. I don't know.
Shave it off. I like that. That's pretty badass.
Yeah. Jazzy, before we let you go, let me ask you this real quick. You've been around a lot of places, especially now in doing the Mae Young Classic and being around in the Germany Trials. Who is someone in maybe in the NXT or maybe someone that hasn't even got to that level yet? Who is someone that we need to look out for? What woman do we need to keep an eye out for, other than yourself, obviously, to make a big splash in the industry in the next, say, 2 to 5 years?
That's a tough question. It's really tough because there are so many girls. I mean, look at Jordynne Grace, for example. She's making a lot of sounds right now. She's with Impact Wrestling, just recently signed. So she's a name we should look out for. But I saw when I was at the New York show, there were a lot of girls backstage, and some were really awesome to look at. And unfortunately, I cannot remember all their names, but there's one girl, Solo Darling, I think is her name. I think she looked pretty cool. You know, she was tiny and had like a unique look. And I think maybe her. But I guess there are many. But right now, there's just this one boy who stands out for me. And he was also at the tryout, and I was like talking to him today. So I don't know, like, we should really look out for him. Unfortunately, he's not like super famous right now, but he's training with Santino Marella, and he will be huge. If WWE don't snap in from the tryout, he will go to Japan maybe, or make big waves in Europe, but he will be the next big thing.
Jazzy, one last question before we let you go. I know it's late. God, you are an angel for calling in for my birthday. This is like the perfect first guest. Great surprise. Thank you guys for setting this up. You've been in the ring. You've done it all. You've seen it all. The Nia Jax, Becky Lynch situation. I mean, Nia Jax punched her right in the face, gave her a concussion.
No follow through and everything.
There's no, you know, beating around the bush. As a performer, in an instance like that, if that was to happen to you, I mean, what's that whole situation like backstage? Are you guys mad at each other? Is it just an honest mistake because it's pro wrestling? It's not ballet?
I mean, I'm not there, so I cannot judge this situation itself. I mean, it's difficult. Like, in one, you know, like, on one side, Becky Lynch got more elevated than ever. Like, the whole situation with her face and now, like, it's broken and all that made her like the ultimate thing, you know, like, everyone was talking about it. But on the other hand, she could not go to the Survivor Series, and now she has a concussion, and who knows when she will be cleared and all that. So there's like, I don't know, two sides of the coin, right? I don't know. Yeah, I can't tell you too much. I mean, of course, I have personal feelings and all that, but maybe they're not for public. We should talk in private about it.
That sounds good. Very good point. Jazzy, thank you so much. Next time you're in the area, you got to hit us up. Let us know you're coming to town. I will man up, and I will take my chops, and we'll hang out and all that good stuff, and then catch up, because it's been a long time since I saw you down at CZW.
Yeah, every weekend I'm practicing my chops, so I will be ready when I meet you.
That sounds horrifying.
Beautiful. That sounds beautiful.
I do not like that.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you and everything that you do in the future. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jazzy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Jazzy. Enjoy the rest of your night. Thank you.
Bye.
She's the best.
Jazzy's awesome. Awesome.
She's the best.
Awesome.
We had to do that because we couldn't
she
get her
last
time. Last
year, right?
Yeah. And she was all in, and then Kevin's like, what's the time difference? I'm like, oh, God, I have to figure this out. And we're like, and she was up for it, dude.
Yeah,
she wanted to wish you happy birthday.
Yeah, she was in, dude. She was all in. Figure it was a nice, you know, nice little favorite.
I like that.
Yep.
I like Jazzy. She's a sweetheart.
She had some interesting takes on some stuff, too. So, and it's good because she's going to be like, I think one day she'll be there. I think it's only a matter of time before she's
right?
there. Yep.
Okay, I think the next guest we're calling, but we're going to wait till 7 o'clock because that's the scheduled time.
All right, cool. Cool. Did you guys watch NXT?
I did.
I started to watch the episode. I did not watch War Games. Dude, between setting this up and everything else that was happening, including Survivor Series, I actually watched SmackDown. I watched Impact. There was a lot going on this week, and unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch it yet.
Okay, so then I'll skip that for the time being just because we have so many calls. How do you guys feel about David Arquette?
He got fucked, dude.
He got fucked.
Look, I know it's Louis' boy and all, Nick Gage, and I'm nothing against him, but he was in a situation he was not ready for.
I agree. Did you see Hurricane's tweets about this? Like the back and forth conversation between like Kevin Gill.
He pretty much said they took advantage of him.
They took advantage of him, and I don't know how to feel about it, to be honest with you.
And like, I don't mean physically. I don't know if he went that far, but just his name recognition alone. That's how they took
advantage. But this is what he wants to do now.
I don't know if he wants to do the death
He didn't
match.
Want to do... No, I agree with that. But it wasn't his thing, his new mission now, to be a pro wrestler again?
Well, he was also taking Joey Janela's place for this match, wasn't he?
No, he was taking someone who couldn't make it out from a flight for the weather.
It wasn't Marco. He broke his fucking leg, too.
It was fucking... Oh, my God. Who the fuck was it?
It was a last-minute thing, wasn't it?
Sammy Callahan?
I don't think so. I swore it was Joey Janela, but I'm obviously...
No, Joey Janela was never penciled for this match because he was hurt a while ago.
I don't know. I saw the graphics. It looked like a Joey Janela spring break production.
Who the fuck was it?
It was LA Confidential.
I think it was right? I think it was Sammy Callahan because I think he had flight issues.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
I'll tell you this much, though. David Arquette got in amazing shape, and his ring gear was on point. He looked like a wrestler. But I agree. I don't think he was in a situation that he really wanted to be in.
Oh, it was Amazing Red.
Really?
Really?
That surprises me.
I believe it was Amazing Red. Well, Amazing Red was supposed to fight. God damn it. I'm sorry, Matt.
No, I don't. Look, I know somebody else was supposed to be in that spot.
Amazing Red was supposed to be there. I know he couldn't go.
Okay.
He had a flight issue. That I know.
Kevin brings us no new information for 3 minutes.
God damn it. Listen, at least this is funny for the listeners.
Well, of course. It's the entertainment value. That's what it is.
While we kill 3 minutes till our next guest calls. God, it had to... Oh, was it... I thought it was...
Let's see.
Look it up, Matt.
Matt,
putting him
Matt,
to work
Matt,
on his birthday.
Matt.
Well, he owes us. He was here late, so...
Let's see. Yeah, I was here late. Was it... It was supposed to be Joey Ryan.
Oh, that's that right. He got the other Joey. The
Joey
other
Ryan.
Joey.
He separated. He fucked his shoulder up. That's why.
But
I mean, look, you gotta. I think everyone is at fault for this one. All parties involved. Nick Gage is Nick Gage. He is. It's not a gimmick. He's a fucking. He don't give a fuck.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think David Arquette really knew who or what he was getting in the ring with.
I mean, at some point, the whoever the GCW brass had to sit down with David Arquette and Nick Gage, and they had to go over everything. I just don't know if David Arquette was ready for what he was getting in the ring with. Oh, I think if you're because you're going from your pro wrestler, right? He's been doing it for like 8 months, and you're just jumping.
8 months does not a professional wrestler make, dude.
But no. he's been having a lot of tag matches and whatnot in like championship wrestling from Hollywood, and I'm sure they're protecting him. And then you're just jumping feet first into the fucking deep end with Nick Gage in a death match,
right? And that part of the blame definitely falls on David Arquette, I think. But I mean, using him is not a big deal. That's huge for them using it. But
right,
whether you want to say they were taking advantage of him or not, I don't know. Like, I can't, because I'm not there, so I don't know.
I don't know if they took advantage of him. I just think
just by his name recognition, they did.
But he wants to do this.
I get it, and they're not stupid for doing it.
But he could have easily said no, or he could have asked for another match.
Sure.
Here's a newsflash: wrestling isn't real.
It's not ballerina.
It's not ballerina.
I thought you were gonna say that. I was hoping for that in the interview.
But you notice he was on his best behavior with minimal stuttering when he was talking to you.
I just got here. You gotta give me time to settle.
But like I saw the. Like the sweetie pies in your eyes when you were like, oh, it's Jazzy.
He knew he was asked to do this match. He could have said no. He could have said yes, but can I have a match with somebody else? At some point, he had to sit down and go, hey, there's going to be light tubes and we're going to do chairs. It's not like that. Fuck, did you see the thing from Mexico?
Oh, yeah, the dude with the cinder
block.
Holy
shit.
Yeah, fuck them both, dude.
Ugh. What the fuck, man?
That's crazy.
That's insanity.
And the dude's like, it was receipt for the hard shots. Apparently, the guy's okay now, and they both like squashed it, and they're okay with each other,
dude,
which I don't fucking understand.
He could have died.
Yes, and he was bleeding all over the fucking place, knocked unconscious while he was bleeding.
There's no receipt. A receipt for that is a punch in the face.
Yeah, or you retaliate with a couple shots of your own with the chair.
He threw. That's some shit that homeless people do in the city,
dude. That's worse than like New Jack stabbing somebody in the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because the dude wasn't even. He had his back to him.
Yep, looking for plunder, daddy.
Holy moly, macaroni,
Kevin. It might be time for our next guest. Don't look this way. You see, I should have sat up there next to Kevin. I don't.
Do you want me to go up there?
No. You're okay. You're okay. You're good. You're good.
I like the sign. Thank you.
Oh, I saw the sign.
I thought that was like a Kathy Hummer original, and she's like hiding down here somewhere.
Oh, if you want, we can make that happen.
What do you mean you can make it
happen? We can make it happen. She could probably be here in like 2 minutes.
No, I'll pass. She's here, isn't she?
No, stop it.
I wouldn't joke about that.
Shh, we're calling our next guest. Relax.
Right, who's doing the intro?
I'm doing the intro. Here he is.
All
or
right.
She is.
It.
Or it is. Come on, don't let me down, dude.
Oh, this is fun.
Oh, no.
Striking out.
Oh, no.
I'm not looking.
You have reached the voicemail box.
Hang that up.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'm going to have to figure that out. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
What happened there?
I don't know.
That one I can't explain.
Holy moly, free holies.
That's a homer.
That one surprised me.
Really?
That one
did surprise me too, man.
Was not expecting that person to not answer.
All right, well, you guys keep talking
now
about
how many
crazy
do
Mexicans
we have tonight?
Right now,
guaranteed 6.
Yeah, 6.
Yo, this soundboard is really crushing me.
Yeah.
It's killing me, dude.
6. Okay, when's the next one after?
See what I mean?
It's like, always me.
7:15 is the next one.
Ooh, excitement.
So, and then we have...
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Do you need to have your soundboard plugged in? Because maybe that's the issue. You gotta
turn my mic on.
Oh, shit, my bad.
Turn my mic on!
There, how's that?
I don't know. There. So I unplugged the soundboard. I just brought my laptop because, so if I need to look up information on these people or have something to talk to them about, I can. Because usually, I prepare for when we speak to people, so the surprise on-the-fly stuff, I'm usually not very good
you
at.
You should know... All yeah, you do know all of them.
If you listen to last
year's birthday. The guest is calling in. The guest is calling in right now.
The guest is calling in
Right now.
It hasn't come through on the computer yet, though.
On the computer box.
I don't know what's going on.
Give him the right number, right. Dicko?
No, I don't know what's going on. It usually it pops on there, it pops on here. I don't know why it's not popping on here.
All right. Next week, episode 400, 7 years.
Yep, that's it.
Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, boo.
We are, you know what? I've got to settle in, man. Settle in.
Of course.
Traffic fucked me up. I'm very excited about this. I can't even hold the microphone. I've been twiddling my thumbs.
Wait, T3's coming down. What's up, buddy? What?
Maybe I'm saying the doorbell rang. Maybe it's your... Want me to go up?
No. Here.
It's probably your...
All right, yeah, but if it's UPS... All right, this guy, he should be answering now. This
all
should
right,
be
all right,
okay.
All right.
So we'll get this going. Relax.
We're going to get this going.
We're
going to get this going.
Shut up.
Why?
Hey, how's it going?
Ladies and gentlemen, making his triumphant return to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, he is your imaginary friend. He is the blue-eyed boogeyman. He is the oddity. We're going straight to Indianapolis. He's a member of the Carnies. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Trip Cassidy.
Hey,
Trip, how are you tonight, brother?
Hey.
Oh, no! He hung up!
Oh,
Trip!
God. What happened? Did he hang up or did you hang up?
No, I don't know. I guess he got disconnected. I don't know.
Oh, man. Trip Cassidy.
Dude, what's going on?
I don't know. You tell me. Oh, shit.
Trip, I tell you what, I don't think Skype likes Mr. Cassidy's phone. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, because I don't know why it keeps popping up on my phone. It's not popping up on the computer.
Oh.
Oh, geez. Oh, come on.
Oh,
now.
We are. This is fantastic. It gives me time to look up some shit about Trip Cassidy. Did you tell him he was my least favorite guest?
No, absolutely not. And that's not very nice to do because he could be listening.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie to the guy. It was one of the worst interviews I ever did.
Well, maybe it was your fault.
Ken the Box.
Okay, all right. Here, we're calling him back.
We're calling him back. It's Trip
Cassidy.
No, that's
not
Kevin.
It.
I know, but just I don't want to have
those. Yeah, it's,
Tony.
Yeah.
Tony hung up on him.
No, I don't know what happened. We got disconnected. Trip, I hope you're there, brother. I don't know what's going on tonight.
Hey, I got you now.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Trip, are you there?
You there? You guys hear me?
We are here.
We're good.
We can hear you. Trip Cassidy.
There we go.
Calling in for my birthday extravaganza. Trip, thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule. I'm going to cut... I'm going to cut the bullshit right here. I'm just going to let it be known. When we first started this podcast, Trip, I interviewed you like 6 years ago, and it was one of the worst interviews I ever did.
Not that it was your fault, mind you.
So this is like redemption. I get to redeem myself with you.
That's been a long time.
It's been way too long. How's things going in Trip Cassidy land?
Super, super, super well. Super, super busy as always. But yeah, all positive, all good.
Now you're part of the Carnies now, right?
Yeah.
And you guys have been you've been picking up a little traction. You've been cracking some skulls. Tell us a little bit about your time with the Carnies.
Well, the whole Carnies thing started as like a joke, like kind of an inside joke, like, oh, like these guys from Memphis, and like I'm like, I look the way I do, kind of gross, grungy guy. Like, it's just kind of an inside joke of like, oh, we're like shitty Carnies, like old school wrestling, like grungy guys. And me and Kerry used to like we had multiple tag matches together with me with random partners just thrown together. And every time me and Kerry had this disgusting chemistry of like not pretty wrestling, not clean wrestling, but beat the shit out of each other and spit in each other's face and just really aggressive. So we got along right out the gate. And it kind of like slowly put itself together. And now people look at us like, oh, you guys are like this brand new finished product. They were there for, you know, like the Carnies have been a work in progress since 2015. So that's like 3-4 years almost of this slow build to get where we are now.
Are you breaking into a bank?
No. I'm in the middle of a warehouse, which is kind of loud and obnoxious.
I thought it sounded like a fire alarm or something going off. I want to make sure you were okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Tripp, let me ask you a question. You've dabbled into deathmatch wrestling, correct?
I have actually.
All right. What's your take on this whole David Arquette, Nick Gage thing?
Surprisingly enough, maybe earlier this year, actually, I was in a pretty similar situation, except mine was drastically worse, where I was in the 2018 Prince of Death match and went through a glass windshield, and it cut all the way up my shoulder into my throat, and I was about an inch away from death. And I know what he's, you know, I mean, he's, like you said before, he's not an experienced deathmatch guy, which that definitely plays into not knowing how to handle a situation like that. And you got to be really safe in those scenarios. People give deathmatch credit, or people don't give deathmatch wrestlers credit for the amount of work that goes into being safe with the potential of a really dangerous environment. So he, I give him credit for doing what he did, but it is what it is, you know. And things like that happen all the time.
What's your take on the whole inner? I mean, I don't know if you've seen it or followed it, but what's your take on the whole uproar and on people, you know, shitting on him or shitting on the company? What's your take on the social media outrage, basically?
Oh, whatever, man. Yeah, I saw a lot of that stuff. It's like the majority of it, really, of what I saw was not necessarily positive or negative, but just inquisitive, which is cool. Like, and good on Game Changer for making sure that they got their product out there so people know, like, hey, this could be a good thing or a bad thing, but, like, independent wrestling's out there, deathmatch wrestling's out there. Like, as far as David Ortega goes, like, people can complain all they want, but that dude, like, I'm sure a millionaire. He's got a pretty well-living situation. He doesn't need to be wrestling Nick Gage in death matches for any reason. So that guy, sincerely, like, I saw one tweet that was just like, so is David Arquette punk rock now? I'm like, fuck yeah, to me he is. Like, giving your entire body at that age to something that you just genuinely love, like, that's punk rock as it fucking gets, you know?
All right, Tripp, I'm going to ask you another question on with the David Arquette thing. You have a lot of tattoos. I myself am covered in tattoos. His Elizabeth and Macho Man tattoos may be the shittiest Macho Man Elizabeth tattoos I've ever seen. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of them. If you haven't, go out of your way. They're fucking terrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's great. Well, dude, like, the same thing applies with anything else. Like, Justin Bieber is the one I always go to of, like, you know, you got millions of dollars. Why do all your tattoos fucking suck?
Right? Spend the money. Go to somebody who gives it. They look like fucking stamps. They look like stupid stamps.
Right.
They're fucking awful. I'm sorry. Jeez.
Maybe that's just partially like David Arquette trying to be a badass too. Like, I'm one of my most recognized tattoos. It blows my mind. Like, I have thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours of work all over my arms and chest. And then, like, the most recognized tattoo is people call me out because I have a Pokeball tattooed on my ankle from when I was 16 years old. It got done in somebody's garage. Like, just because I thought I was, like, cool punk rock kid. Like, fuck yeah, let's do this, like, dirty, grungy thing. And now, like, for the rest of my life, that's, like, the first thing people talk about. Some fan tweeted me the other day to be like, oh, did you know Tripp Cassidy has a Pokeball tattoo?
I'd be like, did you know Tripp Cassidy has tetanus because he got a tattoo in a garage? Holy shit, that's pretty fucking... That's punk rock,
yeah,
tattoo
badass,
in a garage.
Dude.
Holy shit, Tripp, this has been awesome. We appreciate you taking the time to call in. I know we have a bunch of calls lined up for my birthday. I don't know who. This is all a pleasant surprise. The Carnies are doing great. You guys just won the Trios tournament at the Scenic City Wrestling. What else do you have coming up before we let you go?
This weekend, me and Shotzi Blackheart will be in Nova Pro in Virginia, and then we'll be stopping by Destiny Wrestling in Toronto, Ontario. February 10th, I've got the second ever installment of Bizarro Lucha in Indianapolis, which is me and Shotzi's promotion that we've been running here. We had our first show back in the beginning of October, and it's up on powerbomb.tv right now. So look forward to that second one.
And if you want to follow Mr. Trip Cassidy, just head over to Twitter at Trip Cassidy. And I gotta be honest with you, Trip, you've grown quite a bit, dude. You've filled out nicely. You're a nice. No, he's a nice he's, big monster,
you're
dude.
Creep.
All right, maybe I am creepy. But you know, dude, when you first interviewed Trip, he was like this skinny little kid wearing like a denim vest. You know what I'm saying? And now look at him. He's a fucking monster.
Sick man.
I didn't mean to creep you out, brother. Dude.
Trip, thank you so much, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well, man.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, we'll talk Trip. Soon, Trip. Thank you again.
I don't know what happened. It's something's going on. I really hope it doesn't screw up the rest of the night.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Relax. Take a deep breath.
I didn't mean to like make it sound like I was creeping on him. Like, ooh, you're nice.
Oh no, but you did.
Now.
With your,
oh, please,
with
your you're fucking, the first one fucking saying Popeye arms over there was very vascular every
he
time.
He was very
fucking,
vascular.
Well, there you,
you
go.
Got your creepy basketball shorts on.
Hey, I put socks on so Kevin would be creeped out by my bare feet.
Yeah,
tonight.
I feel like it's my birthday.
Nice.
He put socks on for me.
It's Tony's in the holiday spirit. That's He's it. In a giving mood.
The gift that keeps on
I don't
on
know why
giving.
These mics, they keep getting like loud. They keep getting soft. I don't know what's going on with this shit. Is that better? Do we sound better? Do we sound louder?
I think I sound awesome.
Yeah,
all the time though.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the meters now that we're off of Skype. Look at how much they've dropped.
I don't know, man.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Well, we'll see. If it sounds like shit in the playback, we can just delete it.
Well, there you go.
The whole show?
Yes. delete it.
Oh man.
All right.
Well, all right. Go ahead. But we got like another minute or two before
I'm
the next caller's coming.
I'm gonna send out the fueler. Let our next. Guests know that we're going to be calling him.
Because I pulled a piece of news for Tony.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Just because I feel like it's the only piece of news I pulled for this show.
Uh-huh. Is it people dying of asphyxiation?
No, nobody's died.
In Newark?
Your boy Super Porky is not doing well.
Oh, no. What happened to him?
He lives on
That's all, folks.
He lives on the seventh floor of a building with no elevator.
No leak?
No. He's got lots of leaks. He lives on the seventh floor of a building with no elevator in his hips. His hips are dislodged.
What the fuck are you saying? His nips are charred? Jesus, dude.
His hips, like Shakira, the hips don't lie. His hips are dislodged. And he needs surgery on one of his knees.
Well, that's not good.
He's a mess. He's only 55. Super Porky gave his life.
To the business.
To the business. And now he can barely walk up the stairs.
Super Porky.
And he's still working.
Working what?
As much as he can because he needs the money.
Is he wrestling the caretakers on the seventh floor?
He doesn't have any money for his banged up knees.
Oh, jeez. Right. Is it time to call the next guest?
I think it should be time. He hasn't gone back to me yet, right. But I say give him the call anyway.
Oh, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, don't look, dickhead.
I'm not looking.
All right, you have to do the intro for this one.
I will.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Ba, ba, ba. Matt, don't look.
I'm not looking.
It's all right. He's coming. It's good.
That's what she said.
Hi-yo.
Coming.
That's you, buddy.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline for Matt's birthday bash. You can see him tomorrow night at the North Bar in Chicago, Illinois, doing some stand-up comedy. He's the host of the Art of Wrestling podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, boom, boom, it is Colt Cabana.
Whoa!
Colt.
Whoa!
Who's that on the birthday line?
Matt, that is Matt. Matt, say hello.
Hello, Mr. Cabana. How are you?
And Matt, what's your zodiac sign?
Scorpio.
And is today your birthday?
Yeah.
And how old are you on this day?
Do I really have to say?
And how old are you on this day?
37.
Go Matt. It's your birthday. Go Matt. It's your birthday, Matt. Where are you from?
Verona.
Bad boys gotta say bye bye. Happy birthday from WGCR.
That's it. We end the show right there. We don't even do anything else. That's a wrap. Colt, how are you?
That was a wrap. That was from WGCI, the urban radio station in Chicago, Illinois, that I listen to every single night in my adolescent days. And that is ingrained in my head for anybody's birthday. And so I wanted to give that little treat to you.
Oh, that's sweet. We had Hot 97, but it was just who was on the phone. It's what's up, y'all? What you got to say? Who's on the phone with Ed, Lisa, and Dre?
I remember
It's Matt.
No, it's Colt. Colt's on the phone.
Oh, it's Colt.
There it is.
Peter Rosenberg.
former guest of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Colt, how's everything going, man? And you got a lot of stuff coming up in a couple days. Obviously, the comedy is going great with Marty and all that stuff. You'll be at AAW, I think on Saturday. Did I make that up?
Yeah, I'll be at AAW on Saturday. I'll be in, I'm about to record my podcast, and I was about to say I'll be in Worcester, Massachusetts on Sunday, and I was just like, I should Google how to pronounce that, and I put it into YouTube, and it's obviously, you guys all probably know, it's Worcester.
Worcester!
Oh, God, nobody could say that town right, like, anywhere.
Worcester, Mass.
Kevin can't.
I'll be there Sunday.
Kevin can't say Poughkeepsie.
No, I can't.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just something that I can never do. I mean, I'm sure if I really try hard, I could do it. But like when it comes up in just conversation, which oddly happens a lot, I could just never say it.
I thought you had repressed memories of Poughkeepsie.
That's a very good point.
Colt.
We all do.
You can have Thanksgiving dinner with any three wrestlers. Who's at your table?
Oh, God. Well, Abdullah the Butcher, because I just want some of those ribs.
Nice.
You know?
Not the Hep C?
I don't want any of that. Who else cooks?
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Bastion Booger.
Jerry Jarrett makes a mean chicken salad.
Yeah, apparently, right?
What about
a cooking gimmick?
Well, Afa used to eat the bone, like everything.
Well, Afa and Sika, they used to make the raw fish.
I think he's thinking of the Swedish chef.
Was there ever a chef gimmick or a character in wrestling?
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Why
wasn't there one?
Not until Saturday.
Oh, Emma. What? Emma.
Taste of Tennille. A taste of Tennille. Oh, and Brandi Rhodes does some cooking show now, right?
Yeah, but nobody watches that to see her cook. What? I mean,
how weird is it? How weird is it that Cody's always like quote tweeting her and being like, "These are great boobs. What an ass! Like, that's your wife. What are you doing?"
He's in love, bro.
I mean, come
on,
dude.
I just want to find a girl who quote tweets at me the way that Cody quote tweets at Brandy.
Colt.
You shouldn't have said that. Now we're going to have to start tweeting at Colt.
None of us are ladies.
Well.
Let me ask you, Colt. Colt, how have you adapted now? You're still obviously very active in the ring, traveling around all over the place, but the commentary stuff, which you've done before, we know that. But now with Ring of Honor, it's something that you've honestly, it comes across that you're actually enjoying it, and you're getting consistently better every single time. How do you enjoy the commentary aspect of professional wrestling as opposed to actually being in the ring?
Is that a backhanded compliment to saying that I was awful at first? Is that what that was?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Yeah, Kevin's kind of mean.
Listen, he could beat me up anytime he wants when he sees me.
Well, he should. You deserve an ass kicker.
You're a mean, mean man.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just...
Yeah. No, I don't know. It kind of dropped on my plate. Carino and Nigel, they went for the big E Money, and which is also my next rap name, E Money. they left, and there was nobody to do commentary, and I had nothing to do on one of these pay-per-views. I think it was the 15th anniversary, and they were like, Colt, you've been here. You know a lot about the history. Why don't you jump on the commentary? And then I think I did pretty good. And they were like, oh, we need someone, and you're pretty good at this. And so I was thrown into it. And then Kevin Kelly went to Japan, never came back. And now it's just myself and Ian. And I think it's like a fresh little team that nobody has seen before paired together. And two, I think, younger commentators in the business. I'm not young, I know that, but compared to everybody else who, when we think about commentators, are kind of on the older side, I think. And myself and I enjoy doing it because I enjoy the camaraderie of myself and Ian, And yeah, we do have fun every time we go out there, and people seem to dig it. And I think that's part of the fun, is that when people dig it, then I know people are listening and enjoying it. It makes me want to do it more.
And we had Ian on not too long ago. I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he had nothing but amazing, amazing.
Wow, that's what I said. Fucking Phillies fans, Jesus Christ, worst.
See, that's something that I've totally lost my train of thought now. Now you got me thinking about baseball.
Colt,
you had Ian on. You, Ian, Darren Dalton, and Mickey Morandini.
There you go.
Darren Dalton's dead. That's terrible.
Is he?
Is he?
Yeah, he had brain cancer.
Jesus, why would you bring that up?
Yeah. Really? It's leave the guy's memories alone, dude.
It's my birthday. Colt, what
I'm
was it?
Bringing down the room.
I'm not trying to bring down the room. I'm going to bring it up now. I love the show, Marin. And I was super excited to see that you finally got to be a part of it. What was it like for you watching as a fan to see the characters always wearing the Colt Cabana t-shirts?
Yeah, I think his name is Armin. There's a guy named Sievert whose son now works for Championship Wrestling in Hollywood. But he used to bring his son to the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood shows when I was there. And his son, like, never watched WWE. It was one of the coolest things I heard. Like, he didn't even know what WWE is or watched it. He only knew of Championship from Wrestling from Hollywood. So, like, me and Willie Mack and Joey Ryan in his heads were, like, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. And Sievert worked on the show. And so he would kind of make everybody wear it, like, when nobody cared what the shirts were. So he just kept on buying pro wrestling t-shirts and putting them on the air. And we would sign waivers to put them over. And then the episode that Punk and I were supposed to do, I don't even know if this is information to be out there, but allegedly, I think Joe Rogan was supposed to be on that episode and he couldn't do it. And so it was about like fighters and fighting. And so Sievert knew that I had done Marin's episode, an episode of WTF. And so Marin knew who I was and we had a relationship. And so he suggested myself and Punk and, that's how it went. So that's how I got on. And that's the backstory to how those shirts all got on air.
Is the Joe Rogan podcast something you would ever be interested in doing? Because I know as of this afternoon, he was recording an episode with Jake the Snake Roberts. And I know he had DDP on a couple months ago.
Yeah, I was watching it actually for a little bit. After the trial, I was actually going to be in LA like a week later. And I said, Ari's a friend of mine, Shafir. And I just kind of mentioned something to him and some other people. I was just like, I think he would be interested in this. And, they were like, we don't even suggest anymore. Like it's such a crazy, so many people are trying to get on that podcast, I guess, and want to be guests and listen to it. It's such a great audience and it makes careers. So obviously I'd love to, it'd be something fun to be on, but I don't think it was as easy as I thought it would be to be like, hey, Ari, what do you think? There's a lot of channels that you could probably got to go through.
Sounds about right. It sounds like us booking you. It only took it took 7 years.
Exactly. So I just got to be patient.
No, we have to be patient.
That's right. All.
This is awesome. I'm like flabbergasted. Now, if you, right, could ask Chris Gethard to return one of our messages, we would appreciate that.
Yeah, Chris is big time in us.
I was going to get there.
Well,
and we went to high school with the fucking kid.
You got to be paid. There's a lot of channels to go through to get. It's the same way with Rogan, you know?
Look, I got a lot of pictures of Chris basement wrestling with us. Yeah. White magic would be, that would ruin his whole career.
You could have went to that jiu-jitsu tournament he was in this week.
That's right.
He was in the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah, we went to high school with Chris Gethard.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, you guys did. I didn't. I'm much older. I'm the old man.
Colt, let me ask you this before we let you go. Before we let you go, let me ask you this about your comedy career, because I've talked to you briefly about this.
Oh, here it comes. Kevin's going to give the new guy some pointers.
I always want to get wrestling. I want to get wrestlers' opinions on the comedy business, because it's not. It seems like a trend that continues to happen, where more and more wrestlers, whether it's one man shows, whether it's comedy, and I'm not really including you in this because I know you've been doing it for a while. But what is your take on these one man shows that are at comedy clubs and the wrestlers that do you confuse stand up comedy and joke writing with storytelling, or are they not the same to you, or are they?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm to be the expert on to say whether what's what. I think, if you're talking about Jake the Snake and Jim Ross, like there's no way that like we can call Jim Ross's storytelling show like stand up. Like there's no way he's like perfected, you know, trying to put in punchlines and narratives and all that stuff, or maybe narratives, but like setups and punchlines. Whereas I feel Mick, when I was doing stuff with Mick, he was constructing stories with punchlines. It was trying to, trying to like shave and edit on stage and be, you know, and the next show I would see how he would transform the show. So I thought there was a bit of stand up in what Mick was doing, but for Jim Ross, I think these are just storytelling shows and, kind of like live shoot interviews, but with no weird host and just them telling their stories. And stand up places are like great venues for that to be done, you know, because that's what they're used to, is people kind of doing that stuff. So I think it's a fine line. And I don't know if I'm to say that I can say who's right and who's wrong, you know. I feel a lot of these guys, myself included, well, you know, when I do stand up, I do like regular stand up, but I think a lot of these guys are aware not to say that they're stand ups, because I think from them wrestling for 40 years and then for someone to be like, oh, well, I'm a wrestler, they'd be like, absolutely not. So I feel as wrestlers, we see it on the same thing. It's like, we just can't go into a thing and say we're a stand-up comedian. But we can say we are storytellers, because we've been storytellers, and, you know, storytellers and entertainers. You know, for me, I've been a storyteller and entertainer for 20 years. So, we're just moving our stage from the ring to the stage, if you will.
Colt, I'm speechless, which usually doesn't happen very much. Thank you for taking a couple minutes out of your busy schedule to call in and wish me a happy birthday and talk with myself and Kevin and Tony. You want to give Colt a follow at Colt Cabana on Twitter tomorrow night if you are in the Chicago area, live at the North Bar. Him and Marty are doing comedy shows. It's the night before Thanksgiving. If you don't want to be bombarded by a bunch of drunk hipsters, go see a comedy show. You'll have much more fun, and you won't have to worry about someone fighting you for looking at them funny.
Well, this will be a hipster crowd, so they just won't be drunk or fighters, just wrestling nerds, wrestling nerd hipsters.
That's a dream.
It's better than the people here in New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah. Twitter and Instagram at Colt Cabana. I got a big lineup of shows, and if you want a Christmas gift, I wrote a children's book. ColtMerch.com, and I also have some action figures that are signed. The first ever Colt Cabana Superstars of Wrestling action figure. A lot of goodies at ColtMerch.com, and my podcast, The Art of Wrestling. It has changed from a one-on-one sit-down interview to a documentary-style podcast each week of my weird wrestling travels, including China, Japan, and wrestling outside of a restaurant.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much, Colt. We really do appreciate it.
Enjoy yourselves. Happy birthday. And many, many more towards you and your family and friends. What?
Thank you, Colt. Have a happy Thanksgiving, man.
Shalom.
There it is.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Colt Cabana. Holy shit. What the hell
was that?
What's that sound?
What sound?
It went doo doo doo.
Oh, it was a missed call. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
All right.
All right, so that was Colt Cabana. That
fucking
was
fucking awesome. That was a pleasant surprise.
He was funny.
He's very funny. Always a funny man.
Yeah. And Tony said that we had him on only when we did that the WrestleCon the first time. That's the only time.
That's the only time we've ever talked to him.
He's never actually done the show.
Correct.
All right. So we wanted to try to at least do the best we could to not get repeats. I don't count that as a...
No, 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 absolutely yeah. not. That was a...
Yeah, dude, I reached out to him yesterday, or 2 days ago, 3 days ago, just because as a whim, and he was like, yeah, I'm in.
That's awesome. What time is the last call-in?
8:30.
That's what the beard is there for.
8:30.
Okay, for right cool, now. Cool.
So we have 7:45 is the next right now. We had 7:30 open. We tried. We couldn't
whatever,
get
whatever, that's fine. We can talk about NXT War yes! Games since Tony went upstairs. What do you think overall of War Games?
See, here's what I can't... remember's not the right word, but it probably is. There were only, other than the Matt Riddle stuff, there were only 4 matches on the show.
There was Riddle and Cassius Ohno.
Yeah.
The women's match.
The War Games.
Aleister Black.
Aleister Black.
And the championship match. So 5.
Including Riddle. Including yes. the Riddle thing that wasn't even expected.
Yes.
I fucking loved it, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
you didn't?
What?
You didn't love it?
Love the show?
The show.
Show was great. The Riddle Cassius Ohno stuff was goofy. I really didn't like the women's match.
What, the whole interference and all that stuff? The
interference and...
I like the nice little finish, the elbow into the little, you know, crucifix right. gimmick. But again, like, I watched it basically for, like, this is going to sound awful because I'm not meaning any disrespect towards anybody. But the 2 matches that you wanted to watch were Velveteen Dream, Velveteen Dream. Actually, there's 3. Gargano. Actually, the whole show, actually.
I didn't really care for the Riddle match.
But that wasn't advertised.
I know, but you think you see Riddle and Chris Hero in the ring, and I mean, they could both go. I get it. They're telling the story. They're going to wrestle on NXT this week and probably going forward. It's a thing. The women's thing was just like, I don't know, man.
And then the run-ins from the other two.
The run-ins from
Dakota
Shayna's
Kai.
Girls and Dakota Kai and the other chick. Like, it's too much.
Do you know the other chick's name?
Io Shiroi or something?
And she was like a big deal at like Shine or Star or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and she
is.
Was like big in the. She got to the finals of the Mae Young Classic. She wrestled Toni Storm on Evolution.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But the rest of the. I loved the Gargano Aleister Black match.
Yeah. I mean, I love where they're going and intertwining possibly with Ciampa and Aleister Black and a possible reunion between Gargano and Ciampa, and they didn't do anything on the pay-per-view to reflect that, but just the fact that it's a possibility and them as bad guys is pretty cool to me.
I thought the Velveteen Dream Tommaso Ciampa match was the best match on the show.
And to no surprise, really, to be honest with you, because Velveteen is just... Dude, from the moment he comes out of the ramp or the curtain... to the moment he's done, he's just an entertainer.
I mean, they entertained, they wrestled their balls off, they told an awesome story. I can gladly say I am over Mauro Ranallo.
Mamma Mia.
Oh my God, it's stuff. It's too much. It's too much for me. I can't really.
Mamma Mia!
It's just so over everything. Mama effing Mia, like, stop.
He did it. I noticed it, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I never really noticed how often he did it until last night.
Oh, my God.
Or not last night, on Saturday night.
It was too much, in my opinion. For me...
It was Scotty too hotty, you know, Brian Christopher too much.
Yeah. It didn't take away from the show, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It was just, I couldn't... I didn't really... could have done without him.
It was
shitting on Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Well, what did you I mean, you didn't really watch all of it, did you? But he with the Mamma Mia's. Your thoughts, Tony?
No, I mean,
that's Tony.
Took
he's
off
back.
The glasses.
He's trying to I'm tired of wearing them, dude. Got to keep track of things. It's the birthday bonanza. We got to keep it moving.
Yeah, this is stellar. I'm very happy.
That sounded like sarcastic thing.
Jazzy Trip Cassidy, Colt Cabana.
We're trying, man. We tried hard.
Where does it go from here?
Oh, you'll find out soon enough.
It goes really far up or really far down.
No. We're going to be...
Might be
like a roller coaster. Yeah.
No, the next guest, we're going to be floating. We're going to be pretty much, you know, good level, good
floating.
Level.
Floating. All right, so we got 7:45, and then is there one at 8?
Yes.
And then one at 8:30?
Yes.
Yeah. And then that's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
And then we get to play, like, who did you reach out to and who didn't? Yeah, yeah. I like that game. That's a fun game.
Hey, did anybody respond to our Twitter contest, by the way, or did I put that out too little too late? We were trying to get people to guess who we may have booked.
Who might be on. Prince of Pro said that, air quote, Bret Hart is always a good guess.
That is always a good guess.
So that remains to be seen.
Yeah, well, I don't.
I didn't like that Mauro Ranallo referred to the Undisputed Era as having a winning streak in War Games, because a streak is more than one, right?
Well, now it starts the winning streak. Two is a winning streak.
Right. But he said while they were starting War Games that the Undisputed Era puts their winning streak on the line.
Now, do
that's stupid.
Commentators on NXT or any of these other shows have anybody in their head?
Yeah, I would imagine sure they so. Do. Absolutely.
But it's not Vince.
No, it's probably Triple H.
Yeah, but you think Triple H is as badgering as Vince is?
No.
Like, you think Triple H would have said, like, yeah, say they're on a streak? Or no. Do you think that's a Ranalloism?
A Ranalloism?
Yes.
I do really enjoy listening to Nigel on NXT. Especially on such a grand stage.
And I'm actually getting a little more fond day by day. Again, he has his bumps, but Percy Watson,
Percy.
I don't hate him as much as I did when he first started.
Oh, really? I like the NXT squad.
Again, I do. I like Percy Watson.
Mauro with the fucking Mamma Mias, though, it's too much for me, man.
There's a lot of Mamma Mias.
Oh, it's too much. I get it. That's your shtick. I guess it's very, someone could compare it to Joey Styles saying, oh my God, all the time.
That's a very good point. That's his oh my God. I didn't think about that.
I don't know. I feel like his Mamma Mia's, like, when Joey Styles was saying, oh my God, it was stuff you weren't seeing. Like, if you put on WWF, like, well, Doink the Clown was doing a whoopee cushion off the top rope. Tommy Dreamer's knocking Brian Lee off of a scaffold that the Sandman built and had sex with his wife on top of it the night before, and it's barely being held together, and he's falling through, like, 100 tables.
Well, do you think that... See, I can look at it one or two ways. Joey Styles did it when something really awesome happened. I can't recall if he did it all the time for every match on a show. But the other thing is, though, is the product that he's watching or that we're watching so good that maybe every match deserves a Mamma Mia. Like, maybe in every match deserved an Oh My God. Like, I could make a case that every match on the show, other than the Riddle whatever stuff, deserved a Mamma Mia. At some
Fair
point.
Enough. I hate the Mamma Mia. I fucking hate it.
It's no Oh My God.
I hate it.
Oh my.
When he was like, Mama effing Mia, I was like, oh, I'm done with this guy.
But let me ask, the crowd chanted it.
Sure, the crowd. Look, great. The crowd's into it. I don't know. It's just.
What do you hate worse, Ronda Rousey or Mamma Mia?
Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
100%.
There's no 100%. Question on that one. Come on.
When she, after the match against Charlotte Flair at Survivor Series, when the crowd was going ape shit for Charlotte and chanting Becky Lynch's name, and they and Ronda wasn't getting the sympathy that they wanted to get her, and that scowl as she walked up the stage, all blood coming out of her
crying
ears.
Practically, dude.
Oh, it was the best thing I'd seen all night.
No, the best thing I saw that night was Nia Jax getting booed out of the building.
Bro, I'll tell you what.
Terrible.
What the fuck was that?
Well, I'm the king. I was trying to follow up with our next guest, but at the same time, I still appreciated what was being said, so I couldn't commit to full laughter, but it was definitely still not lost on me how funny what was just said was. So that's where you got...
I love the stuff that they're doing with the women is amazing. They're taking chicken shit and they're turning it into chicken salad.
Copyright.
The whole situation with Becky, right? We talked about it last week. She gets knocked out. Reports are now saying that that's going to be the main event of WrestleMania. Ronda Rousey against Becky Lynch.
The last match main event?
The last match.
That'd be awesome.
And I love how I went from saying that the money match for WrestleMania was Charlotte Ronda Rousey. Now that they did it, it still might be, but Becky Lynch Ronda Rousey is now like
I want to see it so bad. The shit. So you have Nia fucked her up.
Stupid,
right?
Nia with her fucking hand.
Show your face.
And I did see a fair amount of pictures and tweets sent to me of the times Nia has injured somebody from our wonderful fucking fans. And then there's that. Do you see the Mortal Kombat meme?
Yes.
Yeah.
When she goes up the.
Yes, she goes up the ladder. So they took the take the Nia thing, right? Nia puts out that she fucked her hand up, right? Instant heat magnet. She goes out there, a Survivor Series. Just fucking let her roll with it, man. You're going to, if she's a badass, let her be a badass. She got crazy heat.
Well, you can leave off the ass part. She's just bad. But she's terrible, dude.
But her ass is badass.
Nah, her ass is bad.
She's a fucking heat-seeking missile right now. It's awesome. The stuff with Becky and Charlotte is still not over because Becky put something up. And then, or no, Charlotte put something up on Twitter where she changed the thing in her description. And then Becky put, maybe Charlotte will change hers every time I change mine. So they're still like that. Like Becky's being a badass.
How great was it with the Funko of Ronda Rousey? And Becky replies to Funko, I already own Ronda.
Yes. Brilliant.
And then she wrote Becky on its forehead and took a picture of it.
Listen, with a lot of these people's like tweets and they're so a lot of them are very funny people. And it's amazing how they do that. I wonder if they like have writers do that for them or if they work with each other to.
Let's just pretend Becky is that awesome.
I believe it. Dude, I think Becky is that awesome. Listen, Becky is my I love Becky. Like I'm in love with her.
All right, I like that.
Like I'm gonna ask her to marry me. I think.
A dig.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do it, guys.
All right. Great. Then you and Mac could double date with Nia. And
I never said I wanted to marry Nia.
Oh, I didn't say marry. I said go on a double date.
All right, maybe if they're in for it.
No, I'm gonna do it, guys. I think I'm gonna.
How did you? So we left here last week, and Survivor Series was kind of like, give or take. Then WWE fucking game changer Daniel Bryan, WWE champion.
As we were speaking last week,
what did you think of the Daniel Bryan Brock Lesnar match?
It was fun in the beginning. While Brian was trying to, like, you know, juke him and kick him and whatnot. And then for a stretch there, it was just like, ugh, how am I watching this again? It was just Brock standing over him going, I'll keep doing it, like beating him up and stuff. Like, I was honestly at the point where I was like, I'm sick of this shit. And then the whole referee bump thing and Brian kicks him in the nuts. I'm like, whoa, we got some life here. That turned the whole thing around.
I loved it.
But now the question is, now, like, they did that. Now what? Like now Daniel Bryan goes back to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar goes back to Raw.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that they did last year with AJ.
They said brand supremacy 300 times. Oh, and I also heard, you know how the SmackDown tag team match was on the pre-show?
Yeah,
and
they didn't count it.
Yeah. You know why? Because apparently the writers got their...
fucked up, right?
Yep. They got their lines crossed. Raw was supposed to win. Whoops.
What?
Yeah, Raw was supposed to win every match.
But the SmackDown... tag teams won. Can
I just say, Shane needs to stop.
He's the only guy who doesn't have a fucking blue shirt on. It was driving me nuts.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of the one thing that was funny though was Miz keep trying to convince him to go up to the top and get up on the apron. He's like, "We need you. We need you." That was hilarious because Miz was just being an asshole. But everything else, dude, it was
like
so much.
What's with the Vince McMahon? Like, look, I'm a guy. I'm like a delinquent child. If you've listened to this podcast for 7 years, you know farts and shit is always funny.
Aha!
What's with the pee in the pants, man? Why?
Did you hear the chants on Raw? The AOPP chants.
That was dumb. That was dumb.
Why pee your pants?
That match was turning into something special, and then all of a sudden, hey, is our 745 calling us?
I just. Follow
up. No, I'm making sure because we're kind of flip flopping back and forth.
No, I know.
We're calling or they're calling.
No, I'm doing good. This is fun. I like this.
It's so far everything is still on schedule. I just sent a reminder to see.
It's been a weird week without social media because I do a lot of stuff on the Twitter.
Right. And we were complimenting you before how like it's like you're fucking good.
Yeah, this is tough. It's not easy. That's
not easy being green.
I don't know why. I don't think I want 6 or 7 or 8 guests for my birthday.
Wow, that's your birthday. Those are easy.
No, for me?
Your birthday was fun. Both of you, Kevin's birthday, that I was super excited
that you loaded that up. That was probably one of the most impressive things ever. And I was shocked and way overwhelmed.
Wait, was it your birthday that we had Brutus Beefcake and Road Warrior Animal?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jeff Jarrett.
And
Mick Foley.
Wow.
So, like, now I'm like, fuck.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I apologize, dude.
Why? Colt Cabana is awesome. Jazzy was great. Trip, awesome. Yeah, I think he redeemed himself a little bit.
Wait. You redeemed yourself, too. You got, I think the tag team effort was there.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
guys,
the fire alarm going off in the background was
He texted me. He apologized. He got called into work.
Our next guest will be calling in 1 minute.
All right. All right,
we're going to hold him to that because our 8 o'clock will be annoyed if we call him late.
Oh, we're calling the 8 o'clock?
Yeah, we're calling the 8 o'clock.
Look at us.
We are rocking and rolling. I'm going to shield my face.
I actually called the 8 o'clock yesterday.
By accident?
No. No.
Did you talk about the weather?
No.
Can I share that story?
Well,
sure.
You can, sure.
So I go to my father's yesterday. We're doing Thanksgiving at my father's. Me and Rihanna decided we're going to spend the whole day there. We're going to cook. It's first Thanksgiving without mom, first holidays. It's probably be a lot harder on my brother and my father. Yeah. So I go down there. I'm cleaning up, straightening up. He's got, like, this fan in the kitchen, and he's, like, very particular about the fucking light bulbs, but he wasn't home. I'm like, I'm going to the store to buy fucking, like, bootleg light bulbs or replace them. Driving to the store, fucking Jerry Lynn calls me. Right? So I pick it up, and he was looking for somebody else. Right? So I'm like, oh, no, this is Matt. He's like,
wait, did you say this is Shining Wizards, Matt?
No, I was like, hello. He's
like you were introing him on the show.
So, and he was like, is so-and-so there? I'm like, nah, Jerry, you have the wrong number. And he was like, who's this? I'm like, this is Matt. And he's like, hey, Matt, how's it going?
That was it? No Matt from the Shining Wizards podcast?
No, because he has, I gave him my phone number to text me the picture of him wearing the Shining Wizards t-shirt.
In front of the shower curtain.
And he
I
called,
love that.
And he called me. So I didn't know why he was calling me. And I was like, fuck, what if they got Jerry Lynn for my birthday and he only has my phone number? So then I'm like, what's up? He's like, nothing. I'm like, how are you? He's like, yeah, you know, the weather.
He probably didn't realize which Matt he was talking to if all you identified yourself as Matt.
Probably.
If you had said, no, this is Matt from the Shining Wizards podcast, he would have been like, oh, and that conversation would have never happened.
He was like, you know, it's cold and rainy in Tennessee, so it makes my body hurt. I was like, you know, better cold and rainy than 6 inches of snow that fucked up the whole state this week.
Oh, what do you have to say about that?
He was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. So I talked to him for like 3 minutes.
Well, he's a Minneapolis guy.
I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry to interrupt, but my Skype is answering on my phone and not on the computer. So I'm going to have to.
Did somebody call?
Yeah, somebody's calling. I'm just going to delete it from Skype. I'm going to delete Skype from my phone to see if it comes through.
All right.
No, it's pissing me off because usually it rings like all of the devices that I have. So let the guests know just to please call back. There's problems going on. See, now it comes through as a missed call, but it doesn't. This is ridiculous.
Interesting. Yeah, so I had like a 3-minute conversation about nothing with Jerry Lynn yesterday in the Walgreens parking lot. And they didn't have the light bulbs I needed. So I thought that was pretty funny. Maybe we should call him. Or her. Or it.
See, I don't know, because now, I mean, it's open, it's active, and I don't know why we're not getting the call. This is kind of ridiculous.
All right. He or she just said, you're killing me, Smalls.
Well, tell him it's not my fault. I mean,
it is your fault.
Kinda.
Well, keep it short for this guy.
Yeah.
We got somebody else at 8, right?
8:15.
Well, this...
No, 8, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Brother. So how's it been? How's everything? How's your birthday?
Well, it's good. It's going good. Birthday's not really till tomorrow.
Shh, kayfabe, bro.
But
kayfabe.
You know, what are you gonna do?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
I'll be 37.
37.
Feeling pretty old. I've had a headache all day, so I got that going for me. Watched a fair amount of wrestling.
Dude, there was just way too much to watch this week. Just way, and I was trying to go all in on everything, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Can't do it.
Goldust?
Can't do it.
Is Goldust gonna call?
Please
it's
tell
not
me.
Goldust.
Please tell me he's calling back. Please tell me he's calling.
They tell fuck your hand. That's what he said.
I know you're killing me, Smalls. Is like as much as like go fuck yourself as you could possibly get.
Right.
Like, that's like the PG way of saying go fuck yourself.
No. He's cool. Like, trust me.
Oh, he's cool. Tony knows him.
Oh, we know him quite well.
You guys are on a friendly basis?
Yeah, you know. He calls me asshole, and I say, hey.
Is it going to work? If he calls, is it going to work?
It should. I don't know why it didn't. I mean, it worked when Trip called. Kinda.
Did you call Colt?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
So, it said unavailable, ?
No, it said, what, when he called?
Yeah.
It said unknown person. It's not coming through. Nothing is coming through. No, this ain't funny, dude. Stop. This ain't funny. Can he just give us a number? Like, we're not going to, like, drunk call him or anything.
This is fun.
No, this is not. This is not.
This was actually one of the ones I was actually excited for.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay. Me too. I'm excited. Can I pee or no?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, all I right. wouldn't. What's the matter with you? You're like an old man.
What? Once I break the seal, it's fucking on. Between four trees, I get it on.
Who are you? Drake Maverick?
Drake Maverick. I purchased the Steiner Brothers.
Jeez. Yeah, well.
Oh, okay, no. All right, you're good.
He's that calling?
Hasbro's?
Yeah.
He's calling?
I said, we'll only go 5 minutes. Try again, please. Sorry, dude. So nothing. Because I can't really explain why it's probably not going to happen.
Bum, 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 bum.
I'm really bummed and I feel terrible.
Don't feel bad. It's okay.
No, I feel terrible.
You're going to have to send out your own personal apology to this
These
man.
These things happen.
Unless maybe he's trying to push back what he has after us to accommodate us. I don't know.
Oh.
It's possible.
I don't know. So what else did you like about Survivor Series?
Son of a fuck.
Yeah, I know. This kills me.
Should you close and reopen Skype?
No, he hasn't tried again yet. Oh. At least I don't know he hasn't. I don't know if he has.
Ugh.
He has a commitment at 8.
Ooh.
So when I said, this is why I asked him for 7:30. He said 7:45. And then
this is where we are.
This is where we are.
Cool.
That
was about it from Survivor Series. I like Brock.
Oh, this sucks.
And I like Brock and
hold on. I get the little dot, dot, dots.
Dot, 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 dot.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Brock and Daniel Bryan. I like Ronda and Charlotte. The rest of it was white noise to me, to be perfectly honest with you. That's all. A lot of people got their phones out. I get it. There's a lot going on.
We're trying for your birthday,
bro.
No, I know.
I'm not stressing. You should
be
stressing.
No, we're stressing. We are absolutely stressing.
Don't be stressing. It's not like...
I got a message from whoever this was.
I got it. I'm taking care of it.
I don't know what happened. Why is there a message here?
A message? A voice message?
Yes. Dude, something is not right with this Skype.
Dun, 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 dun.
This is ridiculous. Ever since they updated Skype, it's been fucking stupid. Ah, jeez Louise. And I can't even play it because it's going to be screwed up and it's not going to come
through.
Should
I go pee?
Yeah, you can go pee now.
Might as well go pee. Kevin, this is a bummer, dude. This is a bummer. Sorry about the airtime. No, because this dude is actually trying to call in, man. That's not fair. Kev, talk to me. What's going on?
I'm telling him not to bother right now because with what he has to do at 8. And
this is bad, dude. He doesn't have a number. We can call him real quick.
He said he's ready, but he's not calling 37 times. Can we call him?
We can call him. Tell him just to shoot us a number real quick. Tell him nobody's going to use his number for anything either. All right, folks. I'm sorry that we're sitting here quietly, but this is. I mean, it's not the guest's fault. This is our end. I don't know what the problem is. Skype is not being very friendly to us tonight, and this next guest is up against the clock, and actually we're up against the clock because we have a guest at 8 o'clock, but that's not a big deal. I think that guest will be a little understanding.
Can I give you his Skype email?
Yeah. You can, yeah, give me the phone. Go ahead. All right, let's take a look. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so Kev, talk a little bit.
Yeah, so our guest, we're going to try to get in touch with him. and hopefully maybe even postpone the next guest who was for 8. He said he tried to call a bunch.
Okay. I'm going to try him now. Hopefully this is him. Hello, is this the person we've been trying to call?
Jesus Christ.
Dude, we apologize. We didn't have a problem all night. This was the first one. Of course it's you. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards hotline for Shining Wizards Matt birthday bash. It is Triple
Crown. Front Row Materials own Mikey Whipwreck.
That's it.
Oh, what the fuck? Mikey Whipwreck.
This is fucking worse than trying to call Jerry.
I'm so sorry, man. I am so actually. I shouldn't be apologizing. Totally apologize.
Listen, I don't know what it is. It just wasn't coming through. And the next thing you know, we got a voicemail from you. So I sincerely apologize. I know you're up against the clock because you got Jerry on the other line. But again, apologies and thank you so much for taking some time to join us.
Hey, no problem. I said, I'm not calling 37 times. You're killing me, Smalls.
The new podcast Front Row Material is fucking amazing.
Oh, it's killer.
It's awesome.
Absolutely
it's so good.
Awesome.
It's like a car wreck. It's like you just kind of have to watch and try to pay attention.
Did Mike really have like a fucking spinny wheel in that episode? Or was he just like spinning the game of life?
No, he had a spinny wheel. No, he didn't.
That's a clear head. We need to get some kind of production on our show like that.
It's all about the sound effects. You got to really get this shit going.
I fucking love it. I love the podcast. I love the dynamic with you and Jerry and Mike. It's great. Fucking Mick Foley throwing your Ozzy CD out the window is one of the funniest stories. And then you made a crack last week. You'd love to have a threesome. You just need two people. You're fucking hysterical, man. I love it. I love the podcast.
I think on the one tomorrow that launches, that comes out tomorrow, I told my wife, I said, hey, if you want to have sex, you know, pull my weenie, you know, one time. I said, if you don't want to have sex, pull on it 100 times. You're going to get fucking carpal tunnel?
Ah, you're the fucking best. Amazing.
How has the feedback been for the podcast overall, Mikey?
Been real good. I mean, you know, nobody has trolled us yet, though I'm sure somebody will at some point. But I think for the most part, people seem to enjoy it. I just kind of, you know, I take myself, amp it up to about 100. You know, I'm like the nut cranky guy. And then we have Jerry, who's like my straight man. And then poor Mike's in the middle.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you enjoy it? Have you gotten as much as you thought you would get out of doing the 4 episodes that you've done already?
Yeah, I think number 4 comes out tomorrow. We're recording 5 tonight, I think. But it's a lot of work. You know, just trying to remember all the shit that they're going to talk about. It's like, man, I got to go figure out what the hell actually happened. Like, the best of my ability. Which, you know, cognitively, not the best thing. So I just drink beer and I pretend I'm just drunk.
My favorite.
The show's awesome, man. I'm really enjoying it. I've been clamoring for like an ECW style podcast for a while now. It's just so much fun to listen to you guys tell stories. Like, what the fuck? You told like the Tommy Rogers trying to fight people in New Orleans. Like,
yeah.
I can't see Tommy Rogers just like being angry and just trying to fight people in the streets. It's shit like that that it makes the podcast so unique and such a fun listen.
Yeah, we just try to make it different because like a lot of the podcasts now, it's, you know, you either watch a pay-per-view or you're talking about something and you kind of go this long form where the guys talk for like, in, you know, I think Conrad and Eric and them, they talk like 2-3 hours. You know, first of all, if I had to sit for 3 hours behind a microphone just talking, it would never fucking happen. I just don't have the fucking patience for it. But, you know, we try to pick a topic we want to talk about, and then it goes off the fucking rails into whatever the fuck, you know, is going to come out of my mouth or Jerry's mouth. So I said, put Mike's in the middle, trying to keep some sort of order.
I think he rounds out the dynamic really nice between you and Jerry. I can't say it enough, man. I love the podcast. I think it's awesome.
Cool. I appreciate that. I'll definitely be sure to pass along the words to Jerry and Mike and our excellent producer, Matt.
Well, Jerry, I was telling the story before. Jerry accidentally called me yesterday looking for somebody else, and I had like the most like generic conversation about the weather with Jerry Lynn, and I'm like, who the fuck am I to be talking to Jerry Lynn about the weather?
Jerry is great because he's like just like a down-to-earth guy. But I'll talk to him. What we talk about on the podcast is the same shit we're not on the podcast. Like I said, like he called me like Sunday night at one point, and we're on the phone maybe 25 seconds. And we're already laughing, being stupid, talking about fucking Tony Schiavone and the Yeti. For whatever, don't know how that came up, but it came up. And we're just laughing. And my wife's like, you guys are ridiculous. Like, can't help it. But that's just me and Jerry. Like, we were FaceTiming last week. You know, I was FaceTiming him with my dog. So you'll hear about my dog this week on the podcast. But Jerry's just a down-to-earth guy. Like, we were talking about crock-pot meals the other day.
Two ECW legends talking about crock pots. I'm all in. I fucking love it, man. Mikey, I know you guys got to do the podcast, and I know we are, you know, next week, 7 years, we still can't figure out how to take a phone call.
Well, it is new technology. Look, if we can get Jerry to figure out Skype and answer the call, you know, you guys should be able to figure this out.
I think so.
We got to learn. Hey, if you want to give Mikey a follow at Mikey Whipwreck _, is there a Twitter for the podcast?
Absolutely. FRM pod at FRM pod. And then at It's Jerry Lynn. He's also on Twitter, and Mike and company. They do an amazing job. Mikey, thank you, man. We would love to have you back on, talk more about the podcast and whatever else you have going on in the future. I appreciate you taking the time to call me on my birthday.
Man, how fucking old are you now?
I'm 37.
Oh, you young prick.
Yep.
Happy birthday. Have a couple of drinks on me.
There it is.
Sounds good. A couple of drinks on Jerry. I'm not paying.
Mikey, thank you again, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Mikey.
Bye. Mikey Whipwreck, that's fucking awesome.
That was awesome.
That's an awesome score. Who's our 8 o'clock now? Are we rushing to do that?
Yeah, we got to, because I don't wanna leave him hanging. So,
is he gonna be upset?
Probably not, but
so to go ahead and let you know, this is a Tony you get.
Oh, what?
Oh boy.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's a great thing.
Oh boy.
No.
I think you'll appreciate it.
Yeah, I honestly think you will.
I know who this person is?
Yes, but don't look.
That's what I'm not really sure about.
Yeah, no, he'll know. He'll know.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
Don't look.
Yeah, I'm not looking.
I got you hiding.
Got the thing off.
Right, let's see.
Why does it do the like half ring thing?
Because I'm calling a phone. That's why.
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen, on the line for Matt's birthday. He is one of the legends of tag team wrestling. You've known him as one of the partners of the Tommy Rogers. He is fantastic, Bobby Fulton, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Did you say something about a birthday?
Yes, I did. Matt, it's Matt's birthday. He's turning 37 years young today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Matt. Happy birthday to you. But that brings tears to your ears, won't it?
Holy shit.
Actually, it wasn't that bad.
That was
wasn't
pretty good.
Bad. That was amazing. Yeah. What are you guys talking about?
I'll tell you what, it was fantastic, wasn't it, brothers?
My man.
No pun intended.
I love it.
Jeez Louise, this is amazing. One half of the fantastic.
No, fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yeah, come on.
Fantastic. Same word tonight. Everything. I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you what, 2018 fantastic WrestleCade is coming up, and I'm excited about it. Guys, tell me something fantastic tonight.
Well, I can tell you this much. Bobby Fulton will be at WrestleCade this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 23rd to the 25th in Winston-Salem. Not only that, yes. Not only we get to meet him, he's going to be at the Breakfast of Legends Saturday morning on the 24th. And listen, is the rumor true? Are you actually wrestling this weekend as well?
In the Battle Royal, brother.
That's
in
what
Battle
I heard.
You can never... I had some people tell me, and I want to say this. I retired in May the 26th. But I apologize. I just can't help myself.
Yep.
There's something about the wrestling business. I just can't get it out of my bones. I mean, I love it as a fan, but I love to get in the ring and mix it up. And realizing that I'm 58 years old, I'm doing 500 free squats a day. I said to myself, Bobby Fulton, get in that ring a couple more times before the day that you will not be able, for the brothers that wish that they could get in the ring and they're not able any longer. You know what I mean? There's so many guys that are beat up, banged up. They got new hips, new knees. Wish they had new necks, this and that. I mean, so many guys that would like to get in that ring one more time. And I apologize to the people, but I can't help myself. You understand where I'm coming from. I apologize, but I just got to get in there. You know what I mean.
I think it's fantastic. And let me ask you a question. You mentioned everyone with the nudes, they're all banged up and all this stuff. How have you stayed in such great shape? I mean, the Fantastics were revolutionary. You, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express. I mean, you guys were the heart and soul of the NWA back in the early 80s, the late 80s. I mean, the stuff you did with the Sheep Herders at the Crockett Cup in 86, amazing. And your feud in 88 against the Midnight Express, unbelievable.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Thank you guys for the compliments.
Well, thank you for everything you've done in the world of professional wrestling.
Bobby Fulton, let me ask you something. I'm sorry to cut the birthday boy off here, but I always try to dissect people when I see that they've worked in these places, and certain places, especially Calgary, with the Hearts. What was it like? Because we don't come across too many people that have worked on the show, worked Calgary and Stampede. What was that like? What was it like working? Because you know we're four guys from Jersey, and what was it like working for Stu Hart and the Hearts?
I'm gonna tell you something right now. Last time I seen Bret Hart was about a year or two ago. I went up to him and I said, you know, Bret, I had a great time there, and I learned a lot because the reason why they had so many different wrestlers from so many different continents that wrestled there. That you got a chance to learn. And you know what? When I would come out of that dressing room, guys, and I'd see Dynamite Kid who just wrestled in the ring for 30 minutes, got on the top rope and dove out to a concrete floor. And he came back from the ring. Did he go in to take a shower? No. He got in he went to the locker room. He did 1,000 Hindu squats. The guy was a machine. He was one of the greatest wrestlers I've ever seen in my life. I mean, as far as he had the agility and the ability. And then you had a young Bret Hart breaking in. You had so many great, talented guys. There was a guy named No Class Bobby Bass that wrestled there. There was also the late, great Goldie Rogers, Joe Ventura, Hubert Gallant, Leo Burke, the Cuban Assassin, and there was a lot of great talent there. Hercules Ayala Barabas. And I'm talking about people that's not local, but an international flavor. But, you know, I'll never forget, as a fan growing up, I'd heard about Stu Hart's wrestling and about the Dungeon, and I was smart enough to stay as far as way of as possible from it. But I'll never forget being in the dressing rooms and Stu would come in, and I'll never forget years ago I would grab the guy, and he would start you. You knew he was, if he would grab you, he was gonna hurt you. He was gonna put something on you. Ajax wasn't gonna be able to take off. And it was an amazing place and an amazing time in my life and an amazing opportunity to wrestle there for the Foothills Wrestling Club, I think they called it there, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I want to tell you one trip I made, guys, up there. One trip was like 500 miles, and I'll never forget Hubert Gallant, Joe Ventura, and Leo Burke was in a car, and they asked me if I wanted to drive ride with them that day. Well, we always called them the French Connection because they were all from Montreal. Well, on that day, it was 500 miles driving, right? Uh-huh. All they did was speak French the whole day. They only listened to French radio. And I would ask them something in English, and they wouldn't talk to me at all. And it was ended up being a rib. But, I mean, at 18, 19 years old, you know, from Chillicothe, Ohio, it made for a long trip. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We don't get a lot of guests on the podcast. Kevin mentioned about the territories and stuff. Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I love Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Can you tell us a little bit about your time at Smoky Mountain Wrestling?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was just telling someone the other day, I helped Jimmy find that ring. It was one of the best rings there. And me and Klondike Bill, do you remember that name, Klondike Bill?
Sure do.
Sure do. He's eating panties in the parking
lot.
The
ring. Yeah, we brought the ring over to me and Ivan Koloff's wrestling school. We fixed it up and got it ready for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Territory. As a matter of fact, the first Smoky Mountain TVs was actually done at my shows that I had done. And Jimmy was starting them, and I said, well, if you're going to do some TVs, I've got the show in Greenville, South Carolina, why don't you go ahead and videotape the show in Greenville? So from the talent that I had and the talent that he brought in, that was the first actual Smoky Mountain wrestling tapes. If you watch tape one and two, I don't know, one, two, three, and four possibly, then you'll see that, that those were actually my events, but they came in and did the televisions and stuff. You know, I was in Memphis, and I was in Nashville for Nick Gullis, and the Smoky Mountain Wrestling was one of the last territories as far as you talk about territories. Of course, we know Memphis lasted, I think, a little bit longer, but it was a great place. Jimmy did the old school style wrestling in which the people really related to, and he had a lot of great talent when we first started, and we wrestled for him for a while there, and at the same time I was running some shows up in Ohio and stuff, but the Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I loved being a part of it, and it was a great time indeed. You know, we had, me and my brother, we had that infamous behind the scenes fight that we ended up busting out the windshield of Jim Cornette's car, and then finally we went into, just like we did with the Bushwhackers in the Louisiana territory, we finally, at the Fire on the Mountain, the very first big event for Smoky Mountain Wrestling, we went into the barbed wire cage match with the Heavenly Bodies, and what was, I thought, was a real good match. So we had a great time there, a lot of great memories there. And of course, the Eastern Tennessee's great wrestling heritage and history there. I mean, what can I say, right?
Absolutely. And let me ask you this real quick, because you touched on his name and it struck a nerve. Not a nerve, but like, you know, something in my head. Jim Cornette, one of the most talked about personalities, probably longer than just about anybody from when he started to now. What are your thoughts on Jim Cornette? What was it like working with him? And do you have any funny Jim Cornette stories?
My goodness. I don't know if people know or not, but I'll, just for the sake of no one else knowing, Jim Cornette was a photographer in the Memphis territory there in Louisville, and he would take pictures. A lot of the pictures that the people bought in probably 80, 81, 82, if they bought them from a wrestler, it came from Jim Cornette. He was a great photographer. But Jimmy's mother would work for Miss Christine Jarrett in Louisville.
Yep.
And I just came into the territory, and I would ride with Miss Thelma Cornette and Jim Cornette, and we would ride to Evansville for the Wednesday night show. And I told Jimmy then, I said, Jimmy, I don't think you're going to be a wrestler. I said, but you're going to be a booker. You're going to do a lot of great things in wrestling someday. That this time he was just a photographer. He was nothing else. I said, but you are going to do some great things in the wrestling business. I said, and as a matter of fact, Jimmy, I really would rather be a heel than the baby face that I am. And I want to wear a bow tie and I want to be called Lover Boy and this and that and everything. Bobby Fulton, right? Just talking. And it's strange how I ended up wearing a bow tie, of course, a la the Fabulous Ones, Fabulous Jackie Fargo and them, this and that. But Lover Boy Dennis ended up with my Lover Boy name. And I mean, I don't know if that was Jimmy kind of winked at me when he said that one time, but Jim Cornette and I are dear friends, always have been, as a matter of fact.
You got a WrestleCade coming up this weekend. You know, these things happen once in a while, the conventions, everyone gets very excited. Is there someone you haven't seen in a very long time you're most excited to see and kind of catch up with?
I'm excited about seeing Abdullah the Butcher. He's a guy. Now, listen, when you talk about Hulk Hogan, of course, we're talking about Mr. Wrestling. But also, you got to think about Abdullah. When there was territories, Abdullah wrestled in almost every territory, and he wasn't the opening match. He was the main event. And as a matter of fact, when I seen Bret Hart the last time, it was in Philadelphia, and he came to see Abdullah the Butcher. And he told Abdullah the Butcher this, and I quote Bret Hart. He said, Abdullah, one thing about it. When you worked for my father, we at least knew that we were going to eat. Because, you know, in wrestling, there's great times and there's lean times. I mean, yep. You know, not every day is a sellout. But he told us that, and he meant what he said. Abdullah has drawn more money than perhaps anyone else except for some of the houses today, for a matter of fact. But Abdullah's been over in more places. I'm looking forward to seeing him. There's a lot of guys. I mean, my goodness, this WrestleCade event, is ended up being like the Super Bowl of professional wrestling. Tracy Myers has worked hard to build it up. And I mean, there's tons and tons of guys there. Some of them are going to be in action. Like we're going to have that Legends type battle royal where a lot of guys that don't normally wrestle is going to wrestle, and hopefully no one gets thrown on their head. But there's going to be a lot of great folks there. And not only is it there about seeing the wrestlers, but it's the great fans, because listen to me, if it wasn't for the fans, there would be no professional wrestling. And people are traveling from all over the country, perhaps all over the world, to come this Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
To the middle of God's country right there in Winston-Salem to this great WrestleCade event. There's going to be guys there that has drawn money, that has worked on top, that has gave this business their bodies. And I'm looking forward to seeing each and every one. And not only that, but the great fans. I'm excited about this weekend. It's going to be a big weekend for sure.
Have you been following the resurgence of the NWA? Because yourself, a former NWA Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champion, and an NWA American Tag Team Champion. How awesome, how fantastic is it that the NWA has risen from the ashes?
I like what they're doing. I didn't mean to walk on you while you were talking.
That's okay.
I like what they're doing. I like that they're making it traditional. Listen, it's just like NASCAR. The fans want the traditional NASCAR, not this new stuff that they made up. And with this NWA, I'm hoping that they keep their heads on right, that they have enough money, and that they make a big go of it. I see the matches and stuff like that. I'm excited about it. You know, I am an NWA man, believe it or not. I mean, people ask me, and I said, I never did really care for the WWF style of wrestling. I was always a Southern-style, fast-paced NWA wrestler. Where when you got in the ring, the bell rung, you got in there and did what you did best, and that was professional wrestling. So I am excited about what the National Wrestling Alliance is doing. Listen, it's one of the oldest governing bodies. You cannot deny its existence that it ever was, and I'm excited about the future that they have as long as they keep their head on right and treat it like a baby. You know, if they treat it like a baby, then they're going to be fine. But if they don't, it could get sidetracked, and I don't want that, because so many times people have had great expectations and somewhere along the way they got derailed, and I hope that's not the case with this one. I'm for it. I want it to happen. I like the idea that they gave Cody Rhodes the championship belt there. To me that meant a lot, because listen to me, people talk about Dusty Rhodes, Abdullah the Butcher, the Anderson brothers, all these guys. Now, they're not talking much about current wrestling. Will they talk about these people that's currently their main rosters in the WWE 30 years from now if they're not talking about them now? Think about that. That's a good question, isn't it?
Yes.
I was at a print shop today, and a guy, not a fan, seen a picture of Abdullah the Butcher without his name. He looked. He said, "That's Abdullah the Butcher." You know, when you got that kind of recognition where people that's not wrestling fans, but know who you are and remember your name, that says a lot. You know, a lot of people don't realize, I talk to people about the old 605 Superstation Wrestling.
Yep.
It was the holy of holies for professional wrestling on Saturday night at 605 throughout the United States of America.
Sure was.
People was geared up and excited about watching the wrestling program, and I'll never forget when Vince McMahon came on there. It's like they stuck a knife in the heart of it. Oof. And everything like that. But with that being said, it was because of the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA, that style of wrestling that the people want, and they still want it today. I believe in my heart and soul, they just aren't offered it. You know, it's like going into a restaurant and wanting barbecue, but they're just serving you sushi.
Ah.
Not everybody likes what Vince McMahon is offering.
Abdullah the Butcher doesn't.
Vince is going to learn you can't force feed people what they don't want.
All right, let me ask you this, though. In terms of going back, you're a traditionalist, obviously one of the greatest tag teams of all time, the Fantastics.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Listen, it's my pleasure. Thoughts on how tag team wrestling seems to have peaks and valleys in terms of how it's promoted, then how it's kind of pushed to the back, and how it's brought back, and then like it seems like it's like a peaks and valleys sort of thing with tag team wrestling. Where do you think tag team wrestling place is, and does it need to be featured more?
Yes, it needs to be featured heavily. The thing of it is that a tag team, they can't go into a tag team thinking of I'm going to say Jim and Jack is a tag team. Well, Jim can't just be worried about him, and Jack just can't be worried about him. Tommy Rogers and I, we thought about the common denominator. We thought about the team. It wasn't never an issue of me, what about me, what about me, what about me. It was for the betterment of the team and the betterment of the match. But tag teams have so many things that they can do that they don't do today, and so many things that's missing in a tag team match that I just don't know if they know it or if they just want to overlook it. It's just like this in mathematics. 2 + 2 = 3. That's not right. It's 4. Listen to me. You can't change the mathematics. You can't change the equation of the match at all. It's set in a certain way, and that's the one good thing about wrestling, but you have to know how to do it. If I say 2 + 2 = 3 and try to convince you of that, that's not equaling 3. It's 4.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is you have to learn to tell a story in that match, and that means that you've got to cut that baby face off. You've got to stop him. His partner standing in the middle has got to be tough enough for the people to say, if he gets that tag, then it's going to be on. And they've got to build it where they get closer to the corner, closer to the corner, pull them back, closer to the corner, pull them back, closer to the corner. Make those people stand up. You know one thing I don't see in wrestling anymore? I don't see people jumping up and down, but I can watch our old videos from years ago, and I see the crowd jumping up and down. The only time they jump up and down is when the music's playing, and they're coming into the ring or they're leaving the ring. Am I right?
Yes.
So with that being said, they have to learn the true technique of tag team wrestling, and I just don't think anyone's took the time to teach it or to learn it. And that's my true opinion of it. But tag teams need to be featured for sure. I mean, what could be more exciting than 2 guys wrestling than 4 guys wrestling?
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
I mean, so there you go, and so on and so forth. But I think there's a place in tag team. And, you know, everybody I talk to, because they know I come out of a tag team, they tell me, man, I miss tag team wrestling. I miss it. So here's the deal. If Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey's closed down because No More Elephants was one of the reasons.
Ooh. Go ahead.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then why do you want to take an equation out of a wrestling show and not have tag team matches as one of the features?
They just don't get it, Bobby. They just absolutely don't get it. And it's a shame. It really is.
You know what? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ain't that the truth?
Unbelievable.
Right. And if you got someone in charge that really doesn't like wrestling, that really hates it, that don't even want to call it wrestling,
right,
and they're the leader of the biggest organization, you know what? If I owned the WWE, you know what I'd do? I'd break this country up in four different territories. And then on my Raw and on my SmackDown, I would only feature some of the guys from each of the territories on the national television. I would go back out to the schools and the groups and clubs, and I would go and I would help local people raise money. And I would take my territories, and then I could culture and cultivate new talent there to take to the big thing, so that every SmackDown, I didn't see John Cena wrestle opponent X and then advertise for the pay-per-view he's going to wrestle opponent X.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying, guys?
Yes. 100%.
Absolutely. Almost very, very similar to the territory days where you're cycling guys in and out. So you're getting fresh matchups, fresh stories, fresh looks. You're not getting the same old stuff every week.
Can I tell you something right now? Years ago in the 90s, I ran wrestling, and I still do today. As a matter of fact, November 30th, right here in Chillicothe, Ohio, Union Otis School, we're going to have a big event. featuring Billy Gunn, the Boogeyman. Abdullah the Butcher is going to be doing a meet and greet. This is Friday, November the 30th in Chillicothe, Ohio. But listen to me. You see, I'd bring a guy in like Hacksaw Jim Duggan into a small town. Well, he would mean a lot in a small town, but Vince had already used him up in the bigger cities. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for me, he was fresh. And that's what Vince has got to realize, is that you need, like you said, to move it in and out so that it's not the same old, and people say, well, I've done already seen this match on Raw. Why am I going to want to watch a pay-per-view to see the same match, basically? Do you realize how hard it is to go to Memphis on a Monday night and to have a different match 52 weeks a year?
Very hard.
Probably, right?
And to go in Louisville on a Tuesday night and have a different match 52 weeks a year. And Evansville, Indiana, and to be able to go on Memphis TV and have something different. Listen to me. This wrestling business is not rocket science, but it takes wrestling people that are born more or less in it to understand it. And there's a hole, and it's like wrestling fans that know what's going on, that are with it, that respect it still. They know the difference. And if they know, then why don't the heads know? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yes, absolutely. Bobby Fulton, a great mind in the world of professional wrestling.
Everything
Bobby,
he said made sense.
And please come out to WrestleCade this weekend to meet Bobby Fulton in person. Maybe have breakfast with him.
I would love that.
Hey, that's right. We're doing a special thing with Bob Orton, Abdullah the Butcher, and I. You're going to get a chance to talk to us, have some breakfast. And it's a special treat. You know, as a kid, I would have loved an opportunity just like this. And it's going to be Saturday morning starting at 8 there. They can find out more about it, I think, if they go to the WrestleCade site. But also, make sure and make plans. If you haven't planned it yet, if you're looking for something to do after Thanksgiving, that's head to Winston-Salem. That's where the action's going to be. Thank you, guys.
Bobby, thank you. We'd love to get you back on in the future, talk more wrestling with you. It's awesome to hear about the yesteryears, and clearly you have a mind for the business. It's like
it's awesome.
We're under a learning tree.
Thank you, sir. God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Same to you, Bobby. God bless you, too, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. Bobby Fulton.
Fantastic.
Jeez, fantastic.
I tell you what, though, man. I'll listen to these guys tell stories for days.
I will, too.
I love that
stuff. No, I love it. I think it's awesome. His math was a little off.
Well, he was
making jokes, I think.
Two plus two is three. Four.
Four? Come on, dickhead.
Four. No, that was awesome. Bobby Fulton. Fucking, here, this is the weirdest, right? Jerry Lynn story, Mikey calls. Then during the Mikey call, we talk about Tommy Rogers and the fucking Bobby Fulton calls.
Well, there's
one
more.
There's
another connection coming.
There's another connection coming.
Oof.
Jim Cornette?
God damn, motherfucker.
Is Tommy Rogers going to call?
No.
Tommy Rogers passed away like 20 years ago.
Not that fucking long
no,
ago.
No, recently.
Dude. Come on.
No, 10 years ago.
No.
Recently.
All right. You want to play When Did Tommy Rogers Pass Away?
Really?
2007, I guarantee you.
Are we calling our next guest, or is our next guest
who,
calling
Tommy
us?
Rogers? No, we're calling him.
2015.
Are you doing it right now, or are you Googling?
Wait, 2015? No way.
I have it right here, June 1st, 2015. Yeah.
Tommy Rogers. That's not Tommy Rogers.
That's Tommy Rogers.
No way. Wait, I swore that he died a long time ago.
No, he didn't. This is really morbid, man. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Remember like 4 years ago we used to do Dead Wrestlers Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Was he in Royal Rumble?
No.
God damn it. I'm just saying how morbid we were.
I told Matt we weren't going to get to talk too much about current wrestling
today. I think we covered a fair amount. I mean,
not
what
too
else
bad.
Do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Just saying.
We still got one more call, right?
Oh, we got one more, and I guess I should call him now, huh?
Should we let him know, or did you? Her or him?
Okay.
Terrific.
No, we're calling them at 8:45 now. I didn't see this message when we were on with
Bobby Fulton.
Yeah, but apparently we've got an extra 15 minutes, so.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, do you want to? I have a gift here for you.
Ooh, yeah, my gifts are in transit somewhere. Thank you, stupid eBay or whoever
your
name is.
Gift? This is fantastic.
Oh, really? We're going to keep doing this? He's not on the phone anymore.
All right. I'm going to take my mic. Oh, Kevin's bringing the mic over.
Well, because I think you can probably guess what realm it's in.
All right.
I don't know if it's something that you needed or wanted, and I'm not 100% satisfied with the quality, but
going
I think
in.
That you'll like
going into the bag.
I think you'll like it because
a lot of tissue paper in
here. Yeah. Oh yeah. Wrapped it up real nice.
Not looking. You think I could tell what it is?
No, because it's in another wrapper.
It's in a bubble wrap.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Again.
All right.
Be careful.
Why?
No, because again, I wasn't super happy with, but it.
All right, we got a honky tonk man.
Well, that was the call that we missed from Mikey Whipwreck just coming through on Sky.
Be careful with the hands. That's again, I wasn't super happy with how hell? It came out, but.
Are you kidding me? And he's got the guitar.
That's it. That's why I wanted to make sure you had that.
Yes. The honky tonk man, Hasbro, with the guitar.
That's it. And because I remember when we were at.
It's amazing.
When we were at ToyCon, I tried to get you to buy that. And you wouldn't do it because you wanted the accessories.
Yes, the accessories is key.
And the accessories is the hardest thing to come by. So even if you're not super happy with the figure.
I think the figure looks great.
You could always upgrade or do that and find one better. But at least you have the guitar, which are usually harder to come by than the actual figure.
Thank you, Kevin. This is awesome. No, the figure is great. Are you kidding me?
All right. No, just wanted to let you know.
I mean,
okay. The
figure is great, but from like a Hasbro, like he's pretty useless. I don't like these.
It's
I don't like
very
the guys.
Wide,
yeah, I don't
very
like the
wide
guys with those
slammer
actions.
Action, which I didn't notice because mine is considerably older and I thought didn't necessarily have that exact action.
Great.
I have to go back and check mine.
Kevin won the pony and I've got nothing.
No.
Do you want to see pictures? Do you want to see pictures of what I bought you?
Sure.
Okay.
At least his. Yeah.
They were supposed to be here today, and that's why I was asking you hypothetically.
Okay.
About
okay.
I hope you don't have Skinner. Or the giant Gonzalez.
I don't.
All right, cool. So,
yeah, so
awesome.
He got you too.
You will get them for episode 400.
Woo, doggy.
And they're actually, they from the pictures that I've seen, they look to be in really good shape. So.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah, well, too bad you couldn't take them home and play with them tonight. So.
That's okay.
All right, so do you want, before we wait for our last guest, do you want to go down?
Yeah, you want to play? You want to play who we reached out to?
Okay, yes, right. Okay.
All right, and it's an extensive list.
I love the extensive list, though.
Okay,
and not oh, and boy, once you get back on to the Twitter, uh-huh. You're gonna see a lot of stuff that's within the last couple days, but that does not depict the work that we tried to do to get
yes.
out to this.
Okay, we spoke about him earlier.
All right,
I tried to reach out to David Arquette, and unfortunately,
really?
I had no way to get in touch with him.
Okay,
I tried my best, but that was a long shot.
All right.
Reach out to Adam Page. He
okay.
was happy to get back to us, but he told me he wasn't doing any podcasts at this time.
Well, at least he got back to you.
Yes, yeah. And also Bill Apter, who we've never officially had on the show.
Oh, that's right. He's always just done, like, gimmicks, right?
Well, he records his show on Tuesday, so he just couldn't possibly be on. So.
Okay.
Tried reaching out to the Pitbull, Gary Wolf. Didn't hear anything back.
Okay, yeah, he's the Pitbulls. He's alive.
Yeah.
No, I was just...
Yeah. The other ones, unfortunately, not.
Yes, Durante.
We tried reaching out to the Boogeyman.
Oh, he likes the duck thing.
I know, that's why I figured
which
he might
so
be a shoo-in.
Which was so funny that,
Also tried to reach out to Vince Russo. No response.
Okay.
Tried reaching out to Opie, but okay. unfortunately he's away on vacation, so I didn't hear anything back.
Right. Yeah,
pretty cool.
Dan Soder.
Yeah.
Oh, the
we reached
man.
Out to him a bunch.
I tried getting
didn't
touch
get
him.
Anything.
All right.
I tried Cuvatro from the Flesh Eaters from the ECPW days.
Wow.
I'm very surprised he didn't get back to me.
I wouldn't add much to talk to him about.
Rosemary, reached out to her by email, by
right.
Facebook, nothing.
All right.
And we came this close to getting the Nature Boy Paul Lee.
Wow.
He hit me up. He said, I'll let you know Tuesday because I might be traveling. And when I hit him up today to see if he was around, he unfortunately wasn't around.
Oh.
We have more.
So we were close. Yes, Kevin's got a plethora
boy.
Of his,
right.
too.
Gary Michael Capetta.
Oh, what? Okay.
Did not get back to me.
The boo.
Brian Pillman Jr., who I met at WrestlePro, so I thought I would have a little thing there.
All right.
Kevin Kelly.
Okay.
Cheeseburger.
Oh, cheeseburger.
Rob Van Dam.
RVD. He'll get back to you later.
Oh, yeah. There was somebody I didn't mention. I also tried Dalton Castle. Did I mention that?
No.
Okay, well, he didn't
Jimmy
get back
Jacobs,
to me
I tried. Andrew Everett, I tried. D'Lo Brown, I tried.
D'Lo.
And then via email, I tried Lillian Garcia. And,
Lillian!
And MVP.
Nice.
Yeah, dude, there was a lot we reached out to. I just think it's the timing of the week.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Look, I sent a lot of emails for you guys too. I'd say like 95% don't come back.
Oh, I will tell you this.
Oh.
No. I think the big guest that we had, I don't think is out of the realm for something.
Yeah, so we don't want to say who it possibly is.
So we're not
going
to tell you.
Don't get us wrong. The guest we have next, absolutely a headliner. Absolutely, okay. Yeah. Like the cream of the crop for the end of the show. Not taking anything away from that. However, this one
is not wrestling related.
Yeah, and this one might still come through.
It
so
still can.
Oh, it still might happen tonight.
Not tonight.
No, not tonight. Okay.
But it could happen on a future
and
episode.
And we don't want to spoil that. But
so that's why I deleted the Twitter message and all
oh,
this
you
stuff.
Did.
Like,
oh, okay.
I deleted the Twitter message. But I was going through other channels to get this person through personal connections.
It was a two-pronged attack.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that one, if that one comes through, you're going to be like, holy shit.
You'll
I
be
can't
happy.
Believe you got X or Y or Z.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And what else? Oh, our friend Drew Gulak reached out to him to leave a voicemail. I don't know if I want to put him on blast for this.
No, well, I don't know. Skype's been acting funny. It might be in there.
I reached out to him. He got back to me.
Nice.
Like, listen, I know you're not going to be able to call. You have to go to the office.
Kevin's breaking down walls here.
If you want to leave a voicemail, he said, just give me the number to call. I'll do it when I land.
When was that?
Yesterday.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, don't be disappointed. I mean, at least he was putting in the effort.
I'm not disappointed at all.
He got back to us, and I think he will eventually do it.
Right.
But, Drew Gulak is one of the best guys in the world.
Yeah, only took him a year and a half to give me my t-shirt.
Oh, but he gave it to you in fashion.
Dude,
he sure did.
That might arguably one of my favorite.
And I kept the storyline going.
Yeah.
I would email him like every other month, like, Drew, sure, buddy, come on.
Yeah, so it definitely broke down the fourth wall there.
And he wound up here, sitting on that couch right there where your two beers are.
That's right.
Yeah, he did. With Dave
and my kid beat him up.
Yeah.
This bruise for Drew.
We hit him in there.
Yes, he did.
In the laundry. Think about that. We hit Drew Gulak in your laundry room.
Could you imagine he's standing back there going, what the fuck has happened to my life?
Yeah.
And I'm hiding in someone's laundry room.
And now he's like one of the most entertaining characters on television.
Should be the Cruiserweight champion.
And
absolutely should.
Oh,
be.
That match was awesome at Survivor Series.
Oh,
too.
Buddy Murphy, Mustafa Ali.
Yes,
fucking A.
Yes, it was. Good
what,
call, Tony.
The bumps that Mustafa Ali was taking were insane, but that Spanish fly, I was like, seriously?
The crowd was like dead, and then he hit that Spanish fly, and it was like someone hit a switch on them, man.
Yep.
That woke everybody up.
And there were This Is Awesome's 205. You know, they were chanting everything for that match. Mustafa
I'm very excited
can go, man.
About this honky tonk, man. I'm not going to lie.
The honky tonky man.
And it looks good, right?
It looks great.
All right.
Looks great.
Yeah, I kind of wish he had two buddies standing next to him, but, you know.
That's okay. They'll be here next week. Don't be upset, buddy.
I am upset, dude. I wouldn't have ordered them. There were other things I had my eye on.
Oh.
But it's like,
but he doesn't have them.
I know, which was a miracle in and of itself, because I kept asking Kevin, what does Matt have?
He's and like, I honestly couldn't for
like,
the life of me.
If I know.
I knew a bunch that you just got, like the Warlord, the Repo Man, the El Matador. But then I'm trying to think, like, what's in that little shelf amongst everything else you got
right.
going on? I knew you had the Rockers, Bushwhackers.
Yep.
I think you had Rick Martel. Did you not have Rick Martel?
No, I don't have Rick Martel.
All right.
I even put out for questions from
the Ultimate Warrior Gorilla Press.
Yep,
I know
both
you have.
Warriors.
Both Warriors.
I don't have the last one, like season Series 6.
Season 6.
See, the purple.
Yeah, I don't have the purple one.
I thought, for some reason, and I think that was before the Gorilla Press.
Yeah?
I don't know. I thought it was. Like, I thought it was really late and super rare, but apparently it was, I think it was before the Gorilla Press. Maybe, like, season, like, or...
Series.
Next time on the next season of The Warriors.
The Warrior Turns.
Warrior. So we have one more guest here. We are live on Ranty
awesome.
M Radio, swlive.net.
I'm kind of hoping we don't have to cut the interview short, but if we do, you guys can pick it up, of course, podcast form if you're listening live. And thank you for listening live. I was saying I put out for the Patreon patrons if they had any questions, but I guess even the patrons are getting turkey on their minds, and we didn't get any questions this week.
Yeah,
not
this
even
is
a happy birthday wish.
This is a crazy week.
And not to mention, we do have 400 next week. Do we want to spoil it now? Do we want to announce who we've got for 400?
Absolutely.
Absolutely we do.
I got to pee again, so.
Okay, well, all right. Then I guess I'll announce it while you
go for
pee.
It.
It was Series 3, Kevin.
So it was early.
It was one was the jumper.
So Warrior had a figure in the first three series.
Well, that's right. He did have a jumper.
His first one was the jumper.
You spring the back.
Him and Hulkster each had one in each series.
Yeah, because Hogan had the gorilla press first. Then he had the weird little
hug.
The Hulkster hug, and then
the Hulkaplex,
which was the one with ones like that and ones like that.
Yeah,
kind of like a bushwhacker, and no one could see what I'm doing. But if you're an action figure collector, you know, and we've been action figure collecting for a very,
now you
very
don't
long
get
time.
You don't like them coming on the cards. I mean,
who does? You know what I want to do though before our next guest calls in while Matt does.
I want to make the announcement though.
Oh, that's a good point.
Next week we celebrate not only episode 400, not only the conclusion of year 7 of the Shining Wizards, but returning for a third time to the studio. Busted Open's own Dave LaGreca.
Dave LaGreca.
Joining us here.
In studio.
In studio for the third time. I think that rivals David Starr, no?
Damoff.
Yes.
Damoff and David. Damoff
no,
maybe
No, David
Starr's
twice. David Starr's
No, David
on...
Starr's three times.
Are you sure? I think it's only twice.
Yes, you're right.
He's
two
been on
in,
a bunch.
Two in studio, but...
And two on the phone.
Two on the phone.
Because he even called us that time after the Penny incident, too.
Damoff has been in... I think
three times. Well, he's been in once on his own, definitely, and once with Steve Mack. I don't know if he's been in after that, has he? Or...
He has to have been.
Well, Steve Mack came in after the two of them came in together.
Because
how many times we have Mafia in the studio?
Three.
It was three.
It was three.
So
yeah.
Dave LaGreca is going to tie that record next week.
I do want to. I do before our next guest calls in. I know we're up against it, but like the Facebook post that was put out there today about your favorite Survivor Series teams. It's that time of year. And I know we're past it now, but it was put up by
Well,
Matt,
if it was 30 years ago, it would be coming up this week.
It's just so cool. McMatt, you were the first one of Texas Tornado, Ultimate Warrior, and the Legion of Doom. Such a great, like, that was, like, meant to be. If there was ever an 8-man tag team championship belt, that would be the team that would have
better
it.
Than Mr. Perfect and the Demolition team?
Yeah, because that didn't make sense to me.
Well, it was all Demolition. It's a perfect
team. No, I get that, but Perfect and Demolition had no affiliation going into that.
Well, I mean, Legion of Doom and...
Yeah, but you got to think, like, Crush was brought in because Axe couldn't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, the Road Warriors, they're legends in their own right, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Warrior, no matter what you say about him, he was huge. And, man, I feel like when the Texas Tornado came to the WWF, I was on board.
Yeah.
No idea who he was beforehand, because you got to remember, I was like 7, 8 years old, 9 years old probably.
You were probably 9, because I was about 7, because he came
awesome.
In 90.
Stop, don't look at the screen, Jesus.
Right, is he calling or are we calling?
Well, I'm waiting. I just sent him, her, it a message to see
so
if we
love
are.
Love the Tornado.
If we are good to go.
Love the Texas Tornado.
He doesn't
so I
get,
thought that team was awesome.
He doesn't get a big push in my fake fed, though, for some reason.
That's on you.
Yeah, that's your problem, dude. But I do like I like that original team. Even with superstar Billy Graham getting moved out for Don Morocco.
I never saw that promo picture before of Billy Graham actually supposed to be on the team.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And with that, fucking man.
And with that, we are ready for the main event of the evening.
Oh, the main event.
Let me get my notes. Don't look this way. Don't look this way.
I'm going back this way. Go. One over here. This is very exciting.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Joining us now for Matt's birthday, our main event featured attraction for the evening. He is your current reigning and two-time NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. He is the national treasure, Mr. Nick Aldis.
Woo!
Nick, how are you tonight, brother?
Hello. I'm very good. Thank you for that very enthusiastic introduction.
Well,
and happy birthday, Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Aldis. This is quite a surprise and quite a pleasure.
Thank you, and you don't have to call me Mr. Aldis. You know, on second thoughts, you can call me Mr. Aldis. That's fine.
Yeah, show respect, dude.
I did.
You did.
Man.
What are you talking about?
Continue to do so.
Oh, this is awesome. We were just talking to Bobby Fulton. About the resurgence of the NWA and how great it's been for pro wrestling. And I don't think that happens without you. You've been such an important part of that. Tell us about what that means for you, because the NWA resurgence doesn't happen if Nick Aldis isn't involved in this in the last 2 years, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Well, that's very kind. I don't know if I agree wholeheartedly, but be that as it may, I will allow you to continue with that narrative. it's been the most fulfilling year of my career. And that's, you know, where are we at now? Like almost into December. And I guess I officially kind of started doing stuff with Dave and Billy, around, late August, early September of last year. So we're really just over a year. You know, All In was September the 1st, and that we were sort of looking at that as almost like it's 1 year from when Dave first came to my house and we shot some of our initial stuff and we first started the 10 pounds of gold concept. And I remember very vividly, you know, having those conversations with them and them basically reaching out to me and sort of saying, what are you doing? You know, what's like, where's your head at? Like that was Dave Lagana's very exact question to me. It was like, where's your head at? Like, you're not at WWE. No one can figure out why. Like, and I think no one expected you to be available. Like, what are you doing? I just sort of said, I am disenchanted with the wrestling I'm seeing. And I don't, it wasn't a knock on anyone or anything. It was, I was just a bit, you know, disenchanted with the product I was seeing overall, and just said, like, I got into this business to tell stories and to create moments, you know, and to have big time build up to matches that felt important. And I was, you know, I guess, sort of 12 years in the business at that point. And look, I just turned 32 a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I started young in the business, no doubt, but like, I've already got some miles on me. You know, my neck bothers me from time to time, you know, my back, I've had a torn bicep. I've got no PCL in my right knee, and I'm fairly lucky, you know, and I just was looking at everything, and all I could see was just guys working harder and harder in the ring to diminishing returns. And I just went like, this isn't sustainable. Like guys are being required or sort of expected to do more and more in the ring, take more and more bumps, take more and more risks for, you know, and matches that don't mean anything. And I was just like, this is crazy to me. Like, how am I the only one who's seeing this? And I basically articulated these thoughts to Billy and to Dave, and then said, why is it that, because at the time Mayweather McGregor was what everyone was talking about. And I said, why is it that Mayweather McGregor, everyone's talking about it. Everyone knows it's kind of a farce in a way, like as far as an athletic contest goes. It's the curiosity factor, and it's the personalities, you know, and it's the making people wait. It's the anticipation. I was like, why can't we do that with pro wrestling? And I was like, I understand why WWE can't do it, because they have a huge beast to feed, and they've got hundreds of employees, and they've got shareholders, and they've got this requirement to provide, you know, X amount of hours of content every week. So I understand why they can't do it. So I said, why can't we do it? Like, why can't we do essentially like an HBO 24/7 prize fight type approach to pro wrestling, and then culminate with a pro wrestling match? And and we just sort of had that conversation, and then 10 pounds of gold was born. And so to look at, you know, All In, I guess, is sort of one of the obviously a very key marker in our short history. We sort of looked at that as, you know, I remember coming away from that, you know, obviously the match with Cody was, you know, was a huge success. And I remember coming off the back of it, obviously we were very busy that day and we had a whole lot to do, but I remember like Dave and I having a conversation the next day where I just kind of said, we were right. You know, we got this right, and we're getting it right, and we're going to keep getting it right. And now we're like we're the leaders almost in that style of delivery and that sort of subgenre of the pro wrestling genre.
How far in advance or not so much when the All In concept was introduced, how far ahead of time did you know that the NWA was going to be included in this? Was it right away? Was it later on? Or how far along in the process were you included in on this?
Well, I have a history with Nick and Matt Jackson from TNA. We always got on really well, and like we had a bit of a kinship. Obviously we certainly didn't share the same sort of styles, and we didn't work together or anything like that. But we were part of a sort of group at the time of talent that was, cursed with the dreaded P word potential. We were sort of all like, I remember there was a, I've talked about this before and I'm sure I'm repeating myself, but we joked about how we were in the sort of forgotten locker room for a while, because there was a locker room and at one point this was, there was a bunch of guys who most of the time were not booked for TV, or who were just doing like explosion or dark matches or just throwaway like meaningless stuff. And it was like the Young Bucks, Okada, myself, Doug, yep. Samoa Joe. It's crazy to think that there were times where they didn't have anything for Joe even, the Machine Guns and it was just this, and then you look at it now and you think, geez, like who would give their right arm to have that locker room now, and we weren't even booked, but it was like, and obviously Marty and I are very good friends. That's well documented. We go back, 15 years. And, so I saw all this stuff happening and I just would stay in touch with them, obviously Marty and I stay in touch a lot, but I would stay in touch with Nick and Matt, and I would just shoot him a text every now and then, just like saying, oh, I love that BTE thing you did or whatever. And it just would, so I saw the All In stuff right from the beginning, from the concept, but I wasn't involved at that point. We were just doing our own thing, because that was our sort of mission statement, was like, there's a lot of people fighting for those dollars, fighting for those eyeballs. And by that, I mean like that particular, fan base. And we're cultivating our own, it's the only way to go. And that's what, and in many ways we were inspired by Nick and Matt and guys like that. We're just doing it in our own way. Like I will get back on point, I promise. But it's funny, like there seems to be this sort of, a lot of fans seem to be confounded by this idea that they somehow assume that because we're the NWA and we represent kind of wrestling, and we want like, traditional values with a modern delivery system and all that kind of thing, that somehow we must be the antithesis of being the elite and the Young Bucks and guys like that. And it's like, no, not at all. Like they're great workers. Like they're getting people to part with their money. That's a great worker. And, obviously I've been on a few episodes of BT and stuff like that. And I think that was a big help all around, because I think it softened that silly sort of hostility that existed between fans of a certain philosophy versus fans of another philosophy, because that's ridiculous. And but anyway, to get back on point, I had this sort of sense that I didn't know Cody, but I had this sense, I knew he was watching our stuff, because Dave Lagana would inform me about different people who would, you may be surprised at some of the people, some of the names, like WWE guys and New Japan guys, and others who watch our stuff and who will reach out, and someone text me on my birthday, who's a friend of mine. We go back and I think he's on a trajectory to main event, to be a main event guy in WWE, no doubt. And, he loves 10 Pounds of Gold. Like he's even, said that he's like jealous, which is crazy considering he's in WWE and like about to, I think, go all the way. But like, so we knew we were tracking, we knew we were doing something right. And I just got this feeling that Cody was watching, and obviously we knew about his history and we knew about, what it represented to him. And he just, I could just tell it was very early days. Like there was a sort of some initial sort of flirtation, and I remember, I think it was when we were in China, maybe it was like, I'd gone to Ring of Honor, in New Orleans. Like we'd done, because we had already sort of loosely agreed with Ring of Honor that we were going to work together. We were going to basically help each other out. And that was about as much as we knew. And they said like, yep, we love what you guys are doing. we understand like Nick and Marty have a relationship. You know, let's start with that. And that's why I went in the crowd and sat for Marty's world title match. And it just got everybody going like, what the hell? And it was it was good for both sides because we could all then see what people felt about it. And then right after that, I walked away and we went to China just after that. And I remember having a conversation with Logano saying, Cody wants a title match. I know it. Like he wants this title match and he wants it all in. And it was like, I knew what he wanted right from the beginning. And you know, he eventually, once he realized that I'm just about business, you know, I was just like, I remember reaching out to him basically going, hey, I know what you want. Okay. Like, let's make it happen. Like, just like a prize fight, just like two, you know, we can make it happen. Like we don't, the days of these sort of contractual political kind of barriers and stuff, I think are coming to an end because I think there's going to be, the fans ultimately are going to want what they want and they're not going to stand for like, oh, well, he's under contract here. And so that can't happen. You know, I think after a while, the fans are just going to go, I don't care. Like it can be done. And I think like All In and Cody and I is almost like the precedent because they go, well, how come they could have that and they could make that happen? You know, and we don't get to see this wrestler versus this wrestler, you know, like think if they'd have done that in the Attitude Era. You know, imagine if WCW and WWF had managed to come to terms on doing Goldberg versus Steve Austin, just to, you know, to throw it out there. Yeah. And they just split the gate and they split that, you know what I mean? They split the pay-per-view and they went, okay, one night, blah, blah, blah. You know, obviously the finish and everything would have been a nightmare to figure out. But I'm saying conceptually, think of the money that could have been made.
The WCW, you know? And would I still think, be in business.
Maybe, you know, but I'm saying like overall, it's just one of those things where like, we've tried really hard to dispel a lot of the sort of so-called rules, you know, because we went, who says that we can't do this, you know, like, or it's never been done. But my favorite, philosophy, and this is what I tell guys a lot, is that if someone says, it's never been done, you just did add one word to that. It's never been done yet. You know, someone has to do it. It's like I love being the first guy, you know what I mean? Like I was the first British guy to have the TNA world title. I was the first NWA champion to defend the title in China, you know, and I want, there are other places I want to be the first guy to go to and stuff like that. And it was, you know, and so, you know, I want to be the first NWA champion in, you know, however many years, like 40 plus years to defend the title at Madison Square Garden. You know, like these are, you put them out there. What's the worst that can happen? It doesn't happen. You know, like it's this vague, you know, sort of these guys that put all this sort of passive aggressive, like vague tweets and stuff out. I'm like, no, I'm just going to articulate what I want to do because it's about business, you know, and that's the way we approached it. And that's how Cody and I ended up doing the business we did. And we all came together and laid our cards on the table and said, all right, let's make this happen. Let's make it as big as we can. And I think, you know, obviously the match speaks for itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's my birthday, 37 years on this wonderful world. And I've watched a lot of wrestling and I can tell you, it's been a long time since I've watched a match like yours and Cody's at All In. The big fight feel was there. NWA 70, the big fight feel was there. And I don't think I'm overstepping my boundaries when I say this, but what you guys have, and I hope there's a third. I know you addressed it on Busted Open after NWA 70. You guys are very much in a realm, and I might be in the minority saying this, very much a Steamboat Flair trilogy. You guys got to have the third match, and I know you addressed it on Busted Open, but you guys work so well together. You're such great storytellers, and it has that big fight wrestling feel that I don't really remember the last time I felt that way watching a wrestling match.
Well, I appreciate it. And honestly, it's a situation that, it doesn't come along very often in our line of work. And the thing that drew me to the business first was the thing that really got me into it. Like, again, I'd been a fan as a kid, like, and I loved Bret the Hitman Hart. Like he was, you know, he was like my hero and Davey Boy and Warrior and different guys. But I sort of just what I, I sort of watched it very casually then as a kid, because, you know, when you're a kid, you just kind of, you're not really sort of invested in at that level yet, because you don't really understand a lot of the emotions. But the when the Attitude Era kicked off, like, the first thing that really made me go, okay, this is big, was the rivalry between Rock and Austin. But then the thing that made me say, I don't want to just be a fan of this, I want to actually do this, was Rock and Triple H, because that rivalry was, and it was sort of ambiguous in that respect, in that like, I kind of didn't care who won. I was sort of watching it going, like, I know that Triple H is he's like married to the boss's daughter, and all, you know, I don't talk storyline wise, you know, and this and that, but, like, God, he's cool. You know what I mean? He's got a great physique, and he's like a great wrestler, and he's like, you know, and then obviously The Rock is The Rock, you know, and I remember just being so compelled by just any time they were sort of facing off with each other, like the match at Backlash 2000, and then the Iron Man match they had, you know, at Judgment Day. I just remember, like, that Judgment Day Iron Man match. That was like the, you know, that big fight feel was there, you know what I mean? And it was like, and I think because it was Louisville, so it was like more of a wrestling kind of crowd. And I just remember going, like, this is everything I want in this is like sports entertainment. And it's like when Cornette described Flair and Steamboat, he said it was like the perfect ratio of an entertaining sport rather than sports entertainment, you know. And obviously, as I became a student of the game, I then went back and, you know, then started to study more of Flair and stuff like that. And now it's, you know, Flair and Steamboat was, I mean, obviously, like most guys in our industry, Flair and Steamboat is sort of required viewing, you know. And it's like, I just, because of what we were doing in our philosophy with the NWA and wanting to, I wanted to make sure that I was very well educated, more than I already was on not only the philosophy of the NWA in general, but just the sort of the delivery and the style of the work compared to the WWE style at that time. And that's, and Cody obviously has that in his blood, and he has a huge passion for that. So we were, you know, and it's like, I mean, Flair's an anomaly, you know. He was able to achieve that with multiple guys. Like, he would do it with Luger, he did it with Barry Windham, he did it with Dusty, you know, he did it with Ron Garvin, you know. But it's like, but like you said, when you got Steamboat and Flair, and they just, and it was that sort of, you just really felt like either guy could win, and that's a great place to be, because in you're ultimately the everybody wins in that respect, right? Like, because you're not so bound by, oh well, oh, this guy should really win, and, you know, like, there's so much should in wrestling now, you know. Oh, he should have won, or he shouldn't have won, or he should have done this and they should have done that. And it's just like, it's tiresome as a performer, I can tell you, like, because you just go, like, everybody's a booker now, you know, like, yep. how could you possibly know, you know, like, what difference does it make? Like, when you watch UFC, you don't go, oh, the other guy should have won, that would have been better for business. Like, you know, like, the guy won, like, that's what I tuned in to see. And it's, and somewhere along the line, we sort of lost that. And I feel like Cody and I were able to get that back, which is a very proud moment for me. And I appreciate that comparison. Obviously, it's a very humbling to be put in that bracket, but I'm proud of what we're able to achieve, and I don't think there's any doubt that somewhere along the line we will dance again.
You talk about proud, and I hope I'm not overstepping any boundaries, but it's well known through the wrestling community who your wife is. How proud were you to see that she was part of the first ever all women's pay-per-view?
Obviously incredibly proud, but at the same time, more just glad, because to me, and I said this to her, to me, who represents, they called that pay-per-view Evolution, yeah? Who represents the women's evolution more than Mickie James? Really? Like, went. So she comes along in the let's be honest, yeah. Nothing against any of those performers at that time, because a lot of them made some serious cash, yeah. But she came along during an era where the women were not exactly renowned for their in-ring prowess, right? Like she came along during a period where it was very much about the aesthetics and it was very much about the sexual nature of it. And I'm not suggesting that was a good or bad thing. Okay. It's like, it just is what it is. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she was able to be all those things, be a very attractive woman, be incredibly sexy, be charismatic and relate to the male audience on that level, but also be a very accomplished in-ring competitor and have entertaining matches. And I think I'll state this point too, because this doesn't get mentioned a lot now, but like, I still believe that, or at least I want to, as a viewer, I want to see women wrestle in a different way to men. I don't want to see women wrestle the exact same way that men do. I'm not suggesting they shouldn't do the same moves or anything like that, but there are feminine ways of doing things versus masculine ways of doing things. And the really good performers at this level, and I think that's where, you know, when you take the Charlotte's, you know, her performance the other night at Survivor Series was unbelievable. It's one of the best pro wrestling performances I've ever seen. You know, when they found all these women who were able to sort of find who they were, find who they are as performers, but stay true to their personalities and have great psychology and have, you know, and put in these unbelievable matches and performances. Mickey was doing that 10 years ago, mm-hmm. You know, and she was doing that more than 10 years ago. And then she goes away from WWE. She crushes it on the independent scene, gets signed by TNA, reinvents herself as Hardcore Country, which to me, I still wish I want to see that.
Yeah. Like,
to me, that was her best work. Okay. She, you know, and she sort of reinvents herself and gets better, and then pulls all these, obviously Gail was there and Gail's a great performer, but she pulls up all these other performers to, you know, look at the improvement of the TNA female roster. Once Mickey got there, like, you know, Madison Rain, like I love Madison. Like, and she and I started more or less the same time in TNA and everything. And like her rivalry with Mickey and her program with Mickey put her on the map. Like, and I believe, and then like Mickey and Lisa headlined, you know, a pay-per-view with the cage match. Like she is the evolution. Like Mickey is she is the bridge between that other generation and this generation. Yeah. And that's why she's there now. And like, it would have been, it was only fitting that she, you know, was there, you know, because to me, she represents that better than any other talent in history.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This weekend, you want to talk about bridging history. You're going to be in NWA Country at WrestleCade. How will you be received? Because you will be in like the heart of NWA Country, Winston-Salem, the whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're wrestling Saturday afternoon, the Super Show against Jake Hager. Are you worried about the reception you'll get from the traditionalists down there, or are you just going to go and show that, you know, you are the rightful man to hold that title?
Well, I'm never really worried about a reaction. Why would I be worried about a reaction from traditionalists? If they've been following what we're doing, then they would recognize that I, you know, that I represent that as well as anyone has, you know, in the modern era. And I think performers who worry about the reaction they're going to get, I think that conveys to the audience, and then they can see it in your eyes, they see it in your body language, and I think that whether you like me or dislike me, the difference between me today versus, you know, the one you might have seen in TNA was that, like, when you see me now, you know I mean it, you know, and I think that's a quality that no matter what you know, people are on the internet and star ratings and oh, this match didn't have enough false finishes and yada yada yada, there are intangibles that people, you know, that still resonate with an audience when they're there in person in the building. And that's, and one of them is like, when this guy walks through the curtain, do I believe that he really believes that he belongs in this spot? Do I feel like I'm watching someone more than a regular guy? And that's, you know, I'd challenge you to find, you know, anyone who's been to any show that I performed on in the last year that hasn't felt that when I come through the curtain. It's not an easy thing to, you know, to get, and it takes years, but it's there. I am the NWA at this point. It wouldn't be where it is without me. It wouldn't be where it is without the team that have done it, but I'm the face of it, obviously. And like, I can hold my own in the ring with anybody. I've worked with everybody from, you know, Matt Cross to, you know, to 350-pound, you know, monsters, right? So it's like, and I've found a way to make them all compelling and entertaining. And you know, obviously my rivalry with Cody has leveled up the entire NWA brand and the title awareness. And now I go to Winston-Salem over Thanksgiving weekend, which is, you know, the spiritual home of the NWA title in many ways. And I'm wrestling a guy who's an All-American, you know, who's about to go fight in Bellator. So like, if you appreciate the NWA title and you know what you think a real world's title match should be and look like and everything like that, then I think that you'll be satisfied with a match between Jake and I, and it'll be the first time we've ever touched. So there's an interesting element.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people listening to this are looking forward to it. And you want to talk about being satisfied. This is super satisfying to have you call in and join us on my birthday. I'm overwhelmed. The NWA World Champion. It's been a pleasure. I know we've taken up a fair amount of your time, so we don't want to keep you much longer, Nick.
No problem. Ask what you want to ask. It's fine. My son's asleep, so I'm all good.
I got one more then.
Yeah, go.
Go ahead.
Because honestly, we didn't know a lot about Nick Aldis until he burst on the scene with TNA with the British Invasion and all that stuff. And then you developed into, you know, Impact Champion and all this stuff into the NWA and all a great career, a legacy, Hall of Fame, basically anywhere, in my opinion. What would you describe your career as, like the genesis? You talked about kind of being kind of, before the NWA thing, kind of being not disjointed, but kind of separated from it. In a whole, your career, sum it up for me in a couple sentences real quick, just because it's astonishing to me, because I remember the British Invasion, Rob Terry, Doug Williams, yourself, and all the stuff you did with TNA and Impact. And then now to this. Just talk about maybe the gap in between, or talk about your entire career in general.
I was thrown in at the deep end, is the easy way to describe it. You know, I broke in with the Knight family, and I'll actually be returning to Norwich to defend the title against Ricky Knight Jr., which is a really cool thing in December. You know, obviously, if I'm able to get through my other challenges before then. But I broke in with the Knight family, who are, you know, Paige's parents. Obviously, the movie's coming out based on their life, which is just wild to me. It's just so funny, you know, that like, because like they got that. But I saw the trailer, and the living room is so spot on. You know, it looks, I was just watching it and I had this really weird feeling. I was like, God, this is so strange. But you know, and I was like 17 when I started with them, and in England, I was fortunate enough to get. To get into a scene where you could wrestle 6 days a week for, you know, a good portion of the year. And by the time I was like 18, 19, like that's what I was doing. It was my full-time job. And then I got a break, but I still, you know, that's a certain style, and a lot of it was, you know, protected. A lot of times it was tags and things like that. But I spent a fair amount of my career battling a misconception. Yeah. Which is, and unfortunately, a culture exists with the fans of wrestling today, which is that if you happen to be, you know, over 6 feet and have the audacity to have worked out and have a good body, suddenly, you know, you're, it's like you're immediately painted as a guy who doesn't, you know, isn't very good in the ring, you know, or doesn't, or is just a body, or is a cookie cutter. Like, cookie cutter is like the craziest thing I've ever heard, because I'm looking around going, like, most locker rooms I walk around in, I'm like, I think we're a little long on 5'9" chubby guys with, you know, who look like baristas at Starbucks, and we're a little short on guys who look like me, but maybe that's just me talking, but I don't think it's cookie cutter. Yeah. Anyway, and then I was able to get breaks because I looked good. Like, some guys, when they decided they wanted to be a wrestler, they put makeup on, and they went and bought some, you know, cargo pants and a long sleeve t-shirt, and they tried to be like Jeff Hardy. Yeah, like, that's cool. Like, that's fine. Like, I didn't begrudge those guys. I didn't talk shit about them for doing it like that. When I decided I wanted to be a wrestler, I started lifting weights because I went, I felt like that's what I needed to do. I did it because I wanted to be a fucking pro wrestler. Yeah. So, like, and then I got a break. I was a full-time wrestler when I got the gig to be on Gladiators. Right. I was a full-time pro wrestler when that happened. And yet there was this misconception about me for a long time that I wasn't a wrestler. And I was like, and Dixie Carter like hired me to be a wrestler because she saw me on this TV show, which was nonsense, right? But it took a long time to get past that. And unfortunately, TNA weren't very good at kind of branding you back then. It was kind of like I knew there was this perception out there, but they didn't really seem to do anything about it. And that's the difference between WWE and everybody else, is that WWE are very, very good at telling people's story from the beginning and establishing people who, you know, the character and everything. But I was thrown in at the deep end. You know, I wasn't really necessarily ready. I certainly wasn't ready for TV, but I really wasn't ready to work with the roster at TNA at the time, which was incredible. You know, I mean, think about the roster when I came in 2009, like the roster that was there: AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Jay Lethal, the Machine Guns, Doug Williams, you know, say like a Beer Money, you know, and then like the legends that were there: Mick Foley, Booker T, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, Kurt Angle, Sting, like, who, of course I wasn't ready, you know, but no one's going to say, no one at 22 years old, I just turned 22. I wasn't going to go, you know what, guys, I'm not really ready for this. So, you know, I think you should give this spot to someone else. I was just going to try and hurry the hell up and get better. And thanks to guys like AJ and Joe and Abyss and Bobby Roode and other guys, and Doug obviously was a huge help to me. Like, they helped me get better, and I went to the Dudley school, you know, whenever I went to Orlando for TV tapings, I would go to their school and tune up and stuff. Like, I worked really hard to be good enough to hang with that roster. And obviously I was very fortunate to learn through osmosis, but I've always believed in, I guess this makes me, people call me a throwback now, or they say I'm like old school and stuff. And I think it's hilarious because I just think it's common sense. But like, I always believed that you should play your part on the card, right? Like, if I'm a heel or if I'm working with the guys who draw money, like at the time Beer Money were the hottest act on the show, like, there's a time and a place for me to get my shit in, but it's not tonight, you know? And so I think a lot of the time, because I didn't do a lot of like high spots and like flashy moves and stuff because it wasn't good for business. Right. It doesn't make it, but like that sort of philosophy died with my generation, I think, you know, and like everybody goes out now and just does whatever they feel like with no consideration of who comes after them on the card or like who the people have actually paid to see. You know, and subsequently you get a lot of these cards that are very just like every match, like it's too much, you know, the audience are exhausted. And then, you know, and then you get to the what's supposed to be the main event and the audience are burned out, you know? And so then of course everyone goes, oh, so-and-so versus so-and-so should have been the main event. Like, they were going, of course they were going nuts. They did everything. You know, they weren't like, they completely screwed over the guys in the main event, you know? And I just was brought up with a different philosophy because I was brought in by a lot of old school guys who, if you went out and did that, they would have chastised you for doing that. They'd be like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, like they didn't come to see you. And I think I paid the price for that, in the sense that, like, the internet fans really had a lot more influence over the people making decisions towards the sort of tail end of like 2012, 13 and stuff. And I think I've always been a guy, like, and I think now I think people are finally starting to come around and realize, like, man, this, he was right. Like, this guy, he knows what he's doing, you know? And I think that when we were able with the NWA, and this was maybe the perfect role for me to be able to finally make that point, you know, clear to people that, like, I know how to tell the story. And ultimately, I don't care what happens with how many moves and how many different, you know, how dangerous the style gets and how fast paced it gets and how athletic it gets. Ultimately, people come to pro wrestling because they want to be taken on a ride. Like, they want to feel something more than they get from, you know, sports and from, you know, from something else. They want that thing that they want to scratch that itch that only wrestling can do. And, you know, I've found my feet, but it's also important for me to make it clear that, like, I'm 32 years old. Like, back in the day, a guy who had been, I'm like 13 years in the business at this point, and I'm 32. This was, you know, when you guys are all what, in your 30s, I'm guessing?
Late 30s.
Well, Tony's like 57, so.
Okay, so like when we were all coming up, like, the guys we were watching on TV were all guys in their 30s who had been wrestling for over a decade.
Right.
So we didn't know that back then. You know, we didn't know that Ted DiBiase was being groomed to be the next NWA champion before Vince snatched him up.
Right.
You know, like, we just saw the Million Dollar Man and went, ah, like, he's, you know, so we took for granted, like, sometimes knowledge can, like, too much knowledge can be a bad thing. Right. And I think that where I'm starting to benefit a little bit now is that, like, the heat on me, like, people are starting to realize was maybe unfair. And there's new fans coming along who don't have all that, who don't have all that baggage to deal with. So now they're going, like, oh, he's cool. Like, he's good, you know, whatever. But it's like, I'm just hitting my stride. Like, it's like, when you were saying before about, like, a legacy and stuff, like, that's hilarious to me, because I'm thinking, like, I'm just scratching the surface. Like, I'm just finding my feet. I'm just hitting my stride. Like, I had this conversation with Tommy Dreamer when we were in Australia, like, a few months back, when he was, like, every night I was going out and I wrestled, like, Robbie Eagles and, like, Jonah Rock, all these, like, upcoming guys. Like, that's my favorite. They're my favorite type of matches to have now, with, like, guys who are starting to get there and, like, have a buzz and stuff, because they all came out of the ring going, like, man, you know, like, that was, I had no idea that would work, you know? And I'm going, like, yeah, I know what I'm doing, you know? And then, and so guys like Bubba and Tommy and stuff, like, Tommy said, God, it's so fun to watch you, like, hitting your stride. Like, because obviously those guys saw me, Bubba especially, like, they saw me when I didn't know my asshole from my elbow, you know? And so now it's like, they're looking at it going, uh-huh. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Because they remember what it was like too. And there's no substitute for experience, no matter how much you try. And no matter how, like, people go, oh, this guy's amazing. Like, think about all the guys who over the years, like, there's been so much buzz about them. Like, and then they go, oh God, he's the best ever. Like, oh my God, he's going to be amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then they burn out because they don't think they need to learn anything new, or the first time they shit the bed, like, they fall apart mentally because they've been told, they've been blown up by the internet, which can be very, very, you know, very myopic if you're not careful. You know, they sort of, then they don't know what to do when suddenly, like, the shine wears off, right? I'm weathered. Like, there's nothing anyone can say to me that hasn't been said already. And I've had people talk shit about me on the internet for so long, it's like, I've realized it means nothing. I've been the most overrated guy and the most underrated guy for the last 10 years. Like, depending on who you talk to, like, I've literally seen articles where I've been called the most underrated guy, and then I've had, you know, trolls saying I'm overrated. Like, hey, guess what, guys? It's fucking subjective. There's no such thing as overrated or underrated. It's wrestling. Like, There's no such thing. I'll tell you something else. There's no such thing as the best wrestler in the world either. It's just your favorite. Like, ask some kid who's the best wrestler in the world. If they say Roman Reigns, then hey, to that kid, he's the best wrestler in the world. Like, it does, you know, because he's that kid's favorite. But kids don't say that. Kid, when you see a little kid, what do you ask him? When I do signings, I'll see a little kid and I'll say, who's your favorite wrestler? I don't say, in your opinion, who do you think is the best wrestler? Who's the best worker? Like, a kid would be like, what? They'd just be like, oh, John Cena's my favorite. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's sometimes it's because the business can be very over intellectualized.
Absolutely.
And now we're, I think that for me, I'm just at a point where, like, it's not that I stopped caring. I just kind of saw it for what it was. And I think when people can sense that and they just go like, this guy, it, you know, some people, they pretend they don't care, but that you can tell that it really bothers them. Right. But it's like, once people realize like, this guy don't give a shit.
Like, with that being said,
and that's totally where I'm at, you know.
Well, with that being said, you certainly made a case for yourself being our favorite professional wrestler in the industry, and we can't thank you enough for joining us on this podcast. Nick, Mr. Aldis, I'm sorry, Mr. Aldis.
Yeah, show respect, dude. Come on.
I'm sorry, that was my fault. That's not the birthday boy. Birthday boy is right here, and I'm sure he's going to come and thank you.
How about we call him Champ? Champ, listen, we really appreciate you coming out. Matt, of course, I think you made his birthday extra special, and we would love to have you back on, man. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. This
absolutely.
Is awesome.
Yeah, man, of course, anytime. Check out WrestleCade this weekend, and I'll be at House of Hardcore coming up December the 8th. I'm defending the title against Brian Cage.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, shit.
Coming up. I got a busy December. So, some pretty high caliber challenges coming in. So the Aldis Crusade will roll on, and I appreciate it. And please, if you haven't yet, follow the NWA on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and check out the 10 pounds of gold. There's some exciting new stuff coming. And like I said, we're just scratching the surface here for both me and the NWA.
And make sure you follow at Real Nick Aldis on Twitter. And he's got all the 10 pounds of gold is up there. The NWA is up there. And he's on there promoting all the stuff. Nick, it's been a pleasure. Hope you and the family have a very happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you soon.
Likewise. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Woo, Nick Aldis, the NWA Ooh. World Heavyweight Champion. And with that, we will pull this train into the station.
Oh, we're...
This train is... crash right through.
I think Matt is shitting his pants over here too.
Oh, what a great time. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Kevin. I'd say a very highly successful birthday extravaganza.
Oh,
I had a blast.
All right.
What would you say? Oh, no, for
I said no doubt. Thank you, please, to AA over at The Rant. He actually let us go a lot longer. Please stay tuned. The Rant is coming up next.
And next week,
yes,
400th episode, Shadows Wrestling Podcast, going home. I just want to say,
No.
Guys,
sorry,
I just want to say.
I'm sorry, Tony. I'm sorry.
Jesus, dude.
Thursday.
I forgot about it.
I hope you all
the
have
segment.
A very happy Thanksgiving. It's a very important time. Spend it with your family. No one gives a shit about what's on your table. Put your goddamn cell phones down. Enjoy the time with your family. It'll be my first holiday without my mother. I won't be on my phone. I won't be fucking checking Facebook. I don't give a shit about anybody but my family. Take the time. Enjoy it with your family because you never know when they're going to be gone. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening to the Shining Wizards birthday extravaganza.
Woo!
And join us next week. 407 years. Dave LeGrecker from Busted Open in the studio.
And who knows what else?
Yeah,
that's
who knows?
All
have
right.
A happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, people.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome, buddy. Love you.
You're welcome. See you next week, you freaks.
Welcome. Next week. Gobbledygooker. Oh.